Oh, all these tweets are in Moonspeak.
What were you expecting?
I don't know.
His name is Mr. Maeda from Japan.
Yeah. Let's see how Google Translate works on it.
Google Translate plus Twitter sounds scary to me.
Yeah. In addition, from tomorrow, bath photo contest details, star cyber contests have been decided. The new site here to check. Little swinky face, maybe.
Oh man, I'm actually bleeding from the nose.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hello, everybody. This is Evangelist here with WTF at TFW. We're episode 166. We're September the 22nd, 2011, and everything's real chill here. What's up, Aaron?
We're being quiet. Or maybe even fake quiet.
Why are we being quiet?
I don't know.
This was your idea, Aaron.
Lies.
You have to take responsibility.
Okay.
Good.
Also here with us today is Omegas.
I'm just trying to stay mellow and relaxed.
Yeah. Oh my god! Stop being such a librarian!
Okay.
Okay, cool. We're here to talk to you today about Transformers, and we're going to open up with something that I just saw that got me really excited for somewhat personal reasons, because this is something I think I care about a lot. Masterpiece number 10, the new Convoy Masterpiece toy, the new Optimus Prime Masterpiece, is out. And apparently today, like, literally, roundabouts today, Mr. Maeda, the Transformers marketing producer from Takara Tomy, spent, like, 2 hours on Twitter with Japanese fans. Twitter account TF_PR. We're going to talk about what he had to say about this, but I just want to open up by saying, if you guys heard our talk in 164, where we were talking about the Transformers Club and the power of social media, this kind of thing I love. I think this is amazing that, especially for the launch of a very collector-oriented and fan-oriented toy, a dude from Takara Tomy spent this long, you know, 2 hours on Twitter with fans talking about stuff. It seems one of the key points coming from the conversation was the reveal of a potential Masterpiece Ultra Magnus version 2. Apparently, the designer says the concept's already complete, just waiting for fans' positive reaction to make the actual product a reality. You know, make your voice heard. Other points of interest from the Twitter conversation include Alternity cars can fit in MP10's trailer, which is news to me, and I think that's great. Looking forward to future masterpieces, a Megatron version 2 has been considered. Many fans pass along wishes for a Masterpiece Soundwave. Some news on Transformers United. There's no immediate plan for future United releases, but if United is revisited, they will most likely go to Generations characters that did not already get United treatment. Thanks to Sydney Y for sending the summary over to us. I'm just kind of parroting the front page post written by your British butcher, Saul Fury. But good Lord, guys, I think this is amazing. Now, this is also a reality of the fact that Takara Tomy is selling, especially the Masterpiece toys, to a far smaller demographic than the general Transformers buying public of North America. But I think that this sets an awesome precedent. I love the idea of the marketing producer and, by proxy, the designers getting a chance to communicate directly with the fans in a modern piece of social media that is active and has numerous people jacked into it. I think this is fantastic, but what do you guys think?
Well, the picture that they threw up of the Prime in quasi-kit-bashed armor looks really freaking cool for Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that picture, but
it's all blurred up in a weird way.
But no.
Yeah, it has a weird filter over it.
Blurred up, but
That picture right there?
Yeah, it's got a weird filter on it.
Looks like they used an unpainted prototype or something.
No, I mean it's just like
his horns are clear.
The edges and everything look to me like a Photoshop filter.
No, but you can see how many parts are still clear on that Convoy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess. But nonetheless, that's just the weird.
Yeah, there might be some sort of ray sharpening thing going on. It's not a straight up photo, but it's enough that you can see that, like, it looks like Prime's legs are backwards inside the armor, maybe, or turned sideways.
Yeah, and it looks really cool. Like, yeah. I love getting to see, especially if this is official, like, you know, here's our concepting process of some cool ideas we had. This is the kind of thing you expect to see from third party or independent toy companies, not, you know.
Well, that's kind of what we got with the much vaunted Hasbro trip.
Yeah.
Back in Rhode Island for that BotCon, where we got to see the case of shame.
Yeah, and sorrow. I thought it was great, but that also, it's now been like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of thing should happen more than once every 4 years. Like I also love that it takes place on social media. So it's open and jacked in.
And responsive too.
Yeah. You can respond to it. And they seem to be, as far as I understand, responding to fans as well.
Right.
Yeah. It's so cool. And I love that they did this. Omegas, what are your thoughts on the sudden tweetings?
Oh man. See, it would be really cool if we had something like this, you know, maybe someone from Hasbro posting on a message board telling us all these kind of cool things.
Oh, that's impossible. That could never happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That happened at one time, I think. Everything fell in.
Aaron,
quiet.
We don't talk about those days anymore.
Maybe it was a fever dream. I don't know.
Well, you know what Hasbro was doing briefly, which I thought was really cool, and I thought it was a shame it kind of fell to the wayside, was the designer Q&A where people were talking about deco decisions and a little bit about the design process about individual toys. Like, do you remember that? This was a long time ago now. But there was a brief period where they were talking about, like, oh, you know, this deco is a bit of an homage to this and such and such. Like, very BotCon panel style stuff, but it was pretty much some designer commentary on toys that were out in the marketplace. And I thought that was great. I love the idea of these toys not coming from a faceless machine, but coming from something that's not just real, but is a human presence on the internet that you can see and hear from.
Well, we almost got something akin to that when Hasbro was doing the Q&As for all the different websites, until it all generated into, well, we can't discuss that until a future date.
And it became everyone asking, hey, is this ever going to come out? Hey, is this ever going to come out?
Give us an RC in Generations.
Yeah. Like that was another good idea, but I think that this, I don't know, it was too controlled, I think. This kind of thing, I think, needs to be spontaneous.
Plus the other rough thing with those was there was a lot of times where one side had asked a question one time, and then the next month around or whatever, a different site would ask the same question. Mm. It's like, did you not just look at the last one? Okay. Well, that feels like a burnt question now. Thanks.
That's one reason why the site Q&As didn't work, is just it's so unorganized.
Yeah, and there was such delay because it was trying to be structured, and I think, you know, like I said, something like Twitter, it's spontaneous. It's definitely more dangerous, but it is also a million times more engaging. And if you can get literally your marketing director guy, you know, your PR guy on Twitter, you know, doing his job as a PR guy, that to me as an onlooker is a million times cooler. And this is how I'll describe it. I am actually more interested in MP10 now than I was about 10 minutes ago when I didn't know this happened. Just the simple fact that MP10 has a level of support where they're willing to sit on Twitter for 2 hours talking about it and future Masterpiece releases. I care a hell of a lot more about MP10 now than I did a little while ago, simply because it has that much of a show of spontaneous support that doesn't feel scripted, that doesn't feel like it's being content controlled. I don't know. I'm really rambly about this, but I don't know if I can properly explain why I find this so exciting. I'm worried that this is going to be a once in a couple years sort of thing, like many of these other opportunities have been. But I hope that this idea is grabbed onto and that the huge potential it has can be acted on.
It only seems like with Masterpiece Toys, Takara Tomy's a little bit more. A little bit more generous with information. I can remember how much we had with you know, the change in designers and mold changes that went on with Starscream.
Absolutely, yeah.
I wonder if some of that comes from the fact that generally those Masterpiece things are a Takara only deal, and then Hasbro buys in on it versus many of the other things are a collaboration.
Well, there's that, and there's also, as I said, you know, there's the fact that Takara Tomy can aim at a far more niche market that is easier to keep a hold of, and there are monthly toy-based publications that are willing to show, you know, they're willing to devote pages to design picks and whatnot.
Right.
It's definitely something that I think even this Twitter thing was heavily facilitated by the demographic Takara Tomy can interact with as compared to Hasbro. But I certainly hope there's some way this can be brought over to a North American slant without running into the wall of are we dealing with kids? Are we dealing with adults? Are we dealing with et cetera?
Yeah, I bet from the marketing side, not to sound horrible, but they're more concerned with the aiming at the parents than at the fans.
Absolutely.
Because of our, you know, the fact that, I think even as a fandom we've grown, but I think those movies have made a whole lot more kids fans of Transformers.
Yeah.
Than
Energon ever did.
Of course, you got to pick out the one, right? You're all like, not I'm even going to say Unicron. I'm going to just say Energon. But I would hope there's some way to bring this over to the North American side of things. Although I know that, I mean, Hasbro is a different company run in a very different way with very different stockholders.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so that's unfortunately why I don't foresee this happening for the English-speaking audience anytime soon. But I would certainly hope Takara keeps this up because at least, you know, that is still something. And that is still amazing to me. And I think it's a great show of faith in the 21st century. It's a great show of faith in social media as a tool, and I like that a lot. Because Takara Tomy are able to make that show of faith without it, you know, colliding with shareholders, colliding with, you know, their different style of company that they are. I don't know. I mean, there's cool news tidbits in here we should discuss as well. I am actually most interested in just the very fact that this happened. So. Do you guys have any thoughts on any of these tidbits we got? Alternatives being scaled, possible version 2 Megatrons, and etc.
I bet Megatron is like everything else where it's like, yeah, you know, we were really looking towards Megatron. You know, that was on our list along with Prime and Mumblebee and Starscream and Soundwave. And
are you trying to tell me Megatron is a popular Transformer?
Yeah. At least, I'm at mad. Least the character.
And also they just made a new Masterpiece Convoy or Prime scaled down to the new Masterpiece scale, and that leaves the old Masterpiece Megatron chilling out with the old Masterpiece Prime as the only two that are that tall, and you know, add 3 and 2 together to make 5, and then realize 5 divided by 5 is 1, and the 1 is Jet Li, and you know what's going on.
I think you can agree that if any Masterpiece actually needs a better version, it's probably Megatron.
Yeah. I would not disagree with that. I like Masterpiece Megatron, but I am in no way going to say that it is a flawless toy. It is a flawed toy.
I've got one, and I honestly don't think I've touched it since. Like, I don't really have much desire to goof around with it.
It's a toy that, to me, was a grand engineering experiment that went really well, but especially as years went on, definitely, you know, as a full toy package suffers because it was so devoted to this idea of doing that transformation and succeeding.
Right. It's a place where I wonder if they'll even go the gun route again. I'll get Megatron Rules Megatron or whatever that I always joke about because, you know, Megatron, the gun is pure G1, but he's been other things as well, and you can do other things a little bit better than a pistol.
And other things maybe look more dynamic in a display with vehicles than a giant handgun, I gotta say.
Yeah. A little awkward. I want to see this Masterpiece Soundwave, though.
I think that would go great, although that also hits the small wall of other things look great with vehicles than a giant tape deck.
I don't care. Soundwave.
That's very true.
But that interests me, if only because I want to see just how many cassettes we get and which ones we get.
Masterpiece cassettes, I think, are what draw me the most to imagine if he got cassettes that were engineered on the level of Masterpiece Hot Rods Target Master.
Those
would turn out fun.
Those would be really nice, I think.
Well, you can see how much better cassettes are if you pick up a Universe 2 Hound.
Oh, absolutely.
And just in that tiny scale. I mean, you upscale that. And
that's a deluxe accessory. You take that and give it, you know, another $10 of engineering, and it's like, boom, now it can pose too. Yeah, that sort of thing I think is really exciting. I really like the fact that Alternity cars can fit in the trailer, because I think that also means you now have more of a sense of a scale to go with it. You have a Bumblebee to put with it if you want. You've got a Megatron to put with it, technically.
There's a Yo-Dog in here somewhere.
Yo-Dog, I put an Optimus Prime in your Optimus Prime, because you could put Alternative
Convoy. So you can convoy while you convoy?
Convoy while you convoy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, the one thing it's got to have, though, in that trailer is a launcher.
Imagine if you could launch Alternity cars.
Oh, no.
That would be such an awesome...
Pound and a half of die cash flying through the air.
Oh, man, that would be like, you know, what's your habit? Oh, I buy Fabergé eggs and throw them at walls kind of thing. You know, like, I'm going to spring launch an Alternity toy out of my Masterpiece toy. That would be so cool. But
$50 aiming bullet. At small children Boom. And dogs.
Yeah.
That's what you're not supposed to do, right? Oh, I always get that mixed up.
Alternity cars are also very much along the same lines as I find a lot of Movieverse and modern generation deluxe cars. So that also bodes well for this Prime fitting in with, I would say, a Generations display, possibly. Like, I don't know if anyone's actually tried it yet, because he's only just come out, but I think that bodes well for him fitting in with a lot of different displays. So, hey, MP10 Convoy! This is what it needed, I think. This is, at least in my view, this is definitely what it needed to raise interest. And I'm not going to pre-order one right now, but I'm more warmed up to the idea of supporting it now. Maybe I'm just easily misled by marketing. I don't know. But any other thoughts on this Twitter fest, or shall we move along?
I'm good. Roll on.
Yeah.
Roll on.
Call me when Magnus is out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do some new pick picks, guys. And I just want to open us up. I'm going to do two new pick picks. I'm going to open us up with what was originally our opening topic, just to get it out there. TFCC have shown off the photoshopped color scheme for Runabout, and it looks hell of Runabout. So Runabout and Runamuck, you know, next year are probably going to be a really solid pair of deluxes if they can avoid any kind of QC traps. And I'm going to say it's to their credit. They are being based on a mold that is harder to break, and they don't have any crazy paint ideas on their faces that are going to be harder to execute.
Yeah, so, I think that's was to the, they reached and they got a little bit burnt. So even if you want to consider this a fallback, as I've seen some people say, you know, oh, this looks easier. Well, yeah, it does, but it's also
not a bad thing.
Yeah, not a bad thing. It's all right. It's all right to go for something that, I mean, it's a air quotes here, basic look, but it looks good.
There's this term, simple and effective.
Yes,
right.
That's what these look like to me. Very in many much. Ways. And I mean, it looks like the most technically challenging thing is they're going to have a split Decepticon symbol on the hood. And you know, that might not turn out well, but that is also a million times easier to fix, because if it's a Tampo, you can just acetone it off and put some Repro labels on there and cut them in half. So, you know, I think these two are going to turn out really well. Speaking of someone who was really burned this year, I have a little bit more confidence in these things than, I might think I would have after what I went through with Sideburn. Conceptually, these seem like they're a lot harder to fall into those sort of traps.
So, yeah.
They'll just also, assuming they can keep the elbows on right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm curious if they're going to do anything with the Trax mold versus the Wheeljack mold and etc.
I saw something that was, I think on Twitter, where they said that was a decision to do it as Wheeljack, because they like the look of the fairings better, and having them being shorter works a little bit better, because those were stumpy G1 toys.
I can see where they're coming from then.
Yeah,
and hopefully they won't run into any factory side problems of parts getting mixed up somehow in the midst of all that.
Yeah. Well, if it's like anything else, they're probably, it was probably one master set, and then you're going to have your daughter molds that are made that have that stuff either shunted off or not even in the mold sprues, it would have to be a very, very interesting day at the factory, I believe, to have have that go bad.
Let's hope it's
like
a boring day.
Somebody had a four drink lunch.
Let's hope it's a normal day at the factory when those come out. But moving along from those, Aaron, what is your new pick?
It's got to go as the end cap to some San Diego Comic-Con action.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Comic-Con exclusive Bumblebee Barricade Nerf Blaster.
I got a thing I got to throw out about this thing, because this was potentially one of my actual new picks.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I think Nerf guns, right, I think one color. When I think modern Nerf guns, that color is yellow. Now, is there a picture of the Barricades in store? Like, is it a yellow gun if I go to Toys R Us and buy it right now?
There are actually a couple different versions out there. But yes, there is one that looks very similar to this.
Because, you know what makes me really unexcited about an exclusive Nerf color scheme? Is when
yellow.
It's bright yellow, like every other Nerf gun. Because I know Bumblebee's popular and all, but... This sucks, because I'm going to be at the convention that these are sold at, and I don't care about a yellow Nerf gun. I want a blue one or a black one. I don't want it. And this is a yellow Nerf gun with bumblebees all over it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, unfortunately, my image searches are only coming up for that. I thought that Toys R Us had an exclusive color scheme for them.
Oh, they've
got an orange and black one.
I wanted a cool Transformers one. It's a thing. I know there's Bumblebee fans, and you know what? At least it's not covered in movie Bumblebee, because that would have been gratuitous. It's covered in, you know, more of a classic looking Bumblebee, and that's neat. And that warms me up to it a bit. But you know, man, a yellow and orange Nerf gun, as an exclusive. Uh-huh. I think back to when I got my Maverick, and like all the Nerf guns then were yellow and orange. So I kind of associate that with not exclusive. Maybe someone out there though is willing to trade one of these for an Optimus one. I don't know. Probably not.
Do you not have an do you want an Optimus one?
Kind of.
I tell you what, you're gonna be there, right?
Yeah.
Get me one of those. Well, and surely Hasbro Toy Shop still has the old one, the Prime one, in stock.
I like how you're thinking.
And I will get one for you, and you get one for me.
We should do this.
Taken care of.
Because I'm going to be in New York, so I can use the U.S. mailing system.
You listen to this. You're talking about international arms dealing now.
That's right. And I ain't going to do no buyback program where they're going to offer me slices of pizza for my Nerf gun.
Hey, and you could get a nice dress shirt, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm gonna stay out of that. I didn't even read the full news story. I'll leave that alone.
That was about it.
Okay.
You can get notebooks too.
But end of the day, I kind of wish there was some way to do this. I think it's just what compounds it is it's not only yellow and orange, but the art tempoing of the Bumblebee art is Bumblebee on an orange background.
Yeah.
It's just really, like, if it was him on a black background, I would have been cooler with it.
I can kind of see why. It's easier to blend into the actual mold of the toy.
I guess, but, you know, I just wish that the color choices were a little bit different, because I think there's a way to do a Bumblebee Nerf gun that wouldn't immediately make me kind of bite my lip like this one did. But I was sitting there kind of going like, oh, man.
Does anyone know what comic panel they just randomly tampoed to the side?
One of those looks like it's from one of the old cassette tape stories. Like the big close-up of his face, where he's looking all kind of like a toy, but kind of like a person. Right above the trigger. But nonetheless, you know, the bright side of this is we now know also what the New York Comic Con Transformers exclusive is probably going to be. Is this Nerf gun. That's kind of cool. And it is a cool end cap, because I was wondering if they were going to do another one of these. And you know who they still haven't made one of these of? Is Barricade.
Barricade.
Yeah. And you know what would have gone really well with a Bumblebee Nerf gun would have been a Barricade Nerf gun. Just gonna throw it out there.
Yeah, we're talking movie verse again.
I don't care. I want a Barricade. Anyway, I'm glad this one came up, because I did have some thoughts to drop, and now all of a sudden I'm an arms dealer. So everybody's a winner here.
In about 30 seconds here, it'll be ordered. So
you should order it and send it to one of the dudes I'm meeting up with there. That would make the most sense.
Now you're employing gun runners.
Yeah.
Do you know the information on these dudes?
I can get it. We can talk afterwards. So I'm not on the recorded podcast telling you
what
their addresses are.
Close the window,
are.
I guess. I'll put away the credit card.
Damn it. All right. Listen, he lives in New York. His name is... Okay, I'll cut that part out. Moving on from there. Omegas, any thoughts on Nerf guns, or do you have a new pick for us?
Well, I've got a couple new picks up here. One of them, I think we talked in length before we even hit the record button.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I was like, hey, guys, look at this.
Let's talk about this toy a whole bunch. All right. Yeah. You mean Striker?
Yeah, the Striker Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it's Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime with a new shield, a new blaster, and you can plug him onto his vehicle mode to make him into a Stealth Force vehicle, which looks awesome. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
How much does it cost?
Yeah. Way too much.
Like, yeah.
$90 after exchange?
This is just like Jetwing Prime. Like I said before the recording, if these toys had come out closer to the end of 09 or the beginning of 2010, I would have been so all over them. But especially, you know, I mean, as I said before the recording, at least Striker has a much different paint job than Jetwing did on the reused Optimus Prime body. And between that and the Stealth Forcified vehicle mode, I think it looks really cool. But this is like over 9,000 yen, and that means it's probably going to cost you at least $120 to buy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it is still Revenge of the Fallen Leader Prime, which is a great toy, but a toy that's now 2 years old. And
right.
I just can't get into the idea of dropping that much on it. Although, like I said, at least it has different paint, or at least different looking paint. But
yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, I do know, like it looks like you can take the Stealth Force bits and put it in his trailer hitch.
Yeah.
Buying him. There's one of those images that's like that, so you can choose which crazy way you want him to look.
I find it hilarious just how many add-ons Prime now has that amount to random junk piled on the back of him.
Yeah.
Because that trailer hitch is just chilling out, ready to accept.
And then the thing is, if this is the revenge body, can he clip Jetfire on still?
That would be nuts.
Ooh.
Well, wasn't that that's the ongoing question with stuff like the Jetwing one. And it leads me to this point that we were talking about before the recording. You know what I think would have been a way to do this to sell a high-priced version of this that people would be interested in? Just make it the Revenge of the Fallen Prime Ultimate Kit. So it's the Revenge of the Fallen mold with every single new piece they've ever made for it. So it comes with both faces, the swords and the hooks, the buster cannons and the normal canisters, the Jetwing pack and all this stuff. And then just sell it for like $150 and just tell fans, you know, this is going to be a toy for kids. You can pull out of the box, but it will come with all these parts. So if you have a screwdriver and you really want to, we're going to give you one of everything that we ever made
for that price. We're packing a screwdriver with it.
Yeah. I think that would go over really well, but I might be overestimating the willingness of people to use a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Now, can the screwdriver have a bunch of Optimus Primes tampoed onto it?
It can, and the screwdriver will have a MechTech port and a MechTech peg on it so it can be wielded by the toy.
Awesome.
Yes.
See, when they create these big, huge exclusives like this, like, you know, okay, we're releasing this Prime again and we're adding one piece. Okay, essentially it makes a very cool vehicle mode, but it's still one piece. And I keep wondering, why can they not just use the Voyager that's like exactly the same and would cost half as much?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a less prestigious toy to put out. That's probably one part of it, but...
But how many times have we done this now?
Yeah,
like,
no,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
Buster,
it's not...
Buster, Jetwing...
Yeah, it's... But yeah. Well, you had another exclusive version. Yeah.
Yeah, Buster, Jetwing, Battlehooks, this one, Striker, at least four.
And they're all essentially the same, except they've changed the parts up a few times, and that's about it.
I mean, on the bright side, this one also has the Dark of the Moon abdomen, so if you skipped Jetwing, this seems to me like a far more interesting-looking way to get
the Dark of the Moon abdomen.
Yeah, he's got... Now, if this had been released and they gave you the Jetwing parts, so it was like the full-on Dark of the Moon Prime with a Stealth Force and the jetpack, again, that would be really cool, too. But it all hits... Like, we figured out it probably hits some kind of pricing scheme that they're not going into all the way. But, you know, when it's already going to cost like 9,000-something yen,
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to sell it for the umpteenth time 2 years after it came out. I think you should just go all out and do a master release of it.
Make it 12,000 yen and
make it a masterpiece movie toy with all the extra parts. That's a label they have. They've done two of them. You know,
I it's Takara. I wouldn't be surprised if they had something like that in mind for a masterpiece release.
If I could write in Japanese on Twitter, I would send this to TFPR on Twitter right now. I'm looking at you, Sydney. Why? I don't know. Are either of you guys thinking about maybe picking up Striker Prime? Yeah,
no.
No.
God.
There's a part of me that goes, that looks really cool. And then the other part of me that goes, dummy, your wallet. Come on.
I went through that with Buster Prime 2 years ago.
if it was something that came out in the U.S. at a liter plus price point, maybe, you know, for $45.50 in the U.S. But not.
Yeah, even if it was like a little overpriced as a store exclusive, you know, like you got to go to Toys R Us to get it for $50 bucks. I'd be willing to drop that on this.
Mm-hmm. No, this thing has the makings of an affordable or somewhat affordable high priced release, but it seems to be kind of, I guess, just a little bit trapped in the nature of how it's being released and where. I don't know. James, really cool stuff. I just, you know, I really can't justify in any way spending that on it. Oh, poor Striker Optimus Prime. Now, like, he's looking at me all sad from the news page.
No.
It's like, I guess I'm the second son that will never be loved. It's like, I'm sorry.
Well, it's just too rapid a release schedule on that stuff combined with being just a bit outside of price range.
Yeah. Still, poor guy. Omega, so you sure you don't want to get him? Like,
I keep looking at him. Good lord, the vehicle mode's cool, and as soon as I say that, my wallet locks like a bank vault.
Like, don't you even touch me.
Get me away from that. No, I know you.
Oh well. I guess that, I mean, my other new pick was that Bumblebee gun. So that covers my second new pick. I'll just briefly throw out there. Did you guys know that the Star Wars crossover Darth Vader Anakin Quad Changer has been released at US retail for $40?
Yeah, I saw that and had the opportunity to run and go get one. Supposedly there was one relatively locally, and I went, no.
Oh, I want to know how it works.
Well, you flip it over and it's one vehicle, and then you flip it over and it's the other vehicle.
Really, though? Like, really? Is that how it works?
I'm sure there's something more complicated to it, but that's about 80% of it, I'm sure.
Because random factor...
Yeah, I believe it's the top side is the Star Destroyer and the bottom side is the cruiser.
Because random factors stole the point I really wanted to make without knowing it, which is to follow up on the idea that the Darth Vader Death Star was this, you know, transforming battle station where they decided to actually manufacture a giant cape for it. Like, if you think about that fictionally, that's kind of awesome. The quad-changing Darth Vader means that the Empire was building a giant Darth Vader transformer and then just sort of decided to give it an Anakin Skywalker mode as well, like almost to taunt him.
So look at that versus that, which works really well for the audience here. It's
absolutely
the two vehicle mode pictures that are in our resources site.
What's a resources site?
That's the all of the hidden information
you
on everything.
You also haven't linked me anything.
It's in the Skype window. Ah, sorry, wrong Skype window.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you're gonna edit around this, right? Right. Okay.
Of course, I am.
There's the second one.
And now the guy who wondered why you're sending him pictures of Star Wars Transformers will know what's going on.
There's the first one.
That is a big dumpy Star Destroyer.
Oh, I can totally see the other vehicle underneath.
Yeah, you can see on the Star Destroyer. You can see like the missile rack thing on the top of the cruiser. You can see the hinges where parts kind of fold an angle. It's like flipped over.
I still really want to like it. I got to know how the robots change.
I just at $40, it seems a
bit much. It's such a goofy idea. I love the concept of it.
And then it also looks like the front part of the Star Destroyer becomes a shield, maybe for Anakin, and then dumpy pants for Vader.
Well, that's where it loses me.
Dumpy pants are fresh, all right?
It loses me where it's got these giant pylons over its head for some reason.
Those are the pants generators.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone out there, please do a really cool video review of it. Because I'm probably not.
Yeah, not going to be me either.
Damn it.
I mean, the parts over his shoulders are the same, with the weird combined Empire and Republic logos.
See, stuff like that I really like, where they're almost putting a fiction in it that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It seems like they're having real fun with it.
It, like I said, it looks interesting, but for $40 for a Star Wars toy, which means it's probably going to be more like a Voyager, less like
what
a...
What if you inevitably find it for $20 at BotCon?
$20, maybe.
Exactly.
Something about multi-changers do kick it a little bit, but...
This guy is basically the analog to animated Shockwave.
Yeah.
Don't you ever compare animated Shockwave to a Star Wars Transformer ever again.
In fact, animated Shockwave and this guy feel like they were meant to be together on a shelf.
Separated at birth.
Yeah. One of them went to Hollywood. The other one stayed in cartoons.
Went to the dark side.
The one who went to Hollywood, yeah, you know, got on drugs. Had the Hollywood lifestyle.
You know what? I'm going to tell them you're smuggling guns.
Let's try it. I'll get some slices of pizza for it, and I'll take my Nerf gun back after I eat them.
Yeah. Well, they're all just going to be buried in a casket somewhere.
Lord. Anyway, let's move along from New Pick Picks. Let's talk some more about the New York Comic Con, because I'm going to be there. And yeah.
What?
We've got announcements for what the Transformers panels will be at New York Comic Con. We've got one panel with Jagex on Friday at 7:45 p.m. Join members from the Jagex Game Studio and Hasbro as they take a look at elements from the upcoming MMO game Transformers Universe. Then Hasbro has a Transformers panel on Saturday at 12:15. Join the team as they discuss the many aspects of the massive more-than-meets-the-eye pop culture brand, including action figures, video games, television series, theme park rides, and more. And then there's a devoted Transformers Prime panel on Sunday at 11 a.m. Talking about Prime. So the Jagex one, I don't know if I can make it to that, because that might be running around the same time as the Jay and Silent Bob podcast recording I bought a ticket for. But I might try to catch the other two if I can.
No dedication to your cause.
I know. But do you think the other two are going to be... Do you think the other two are going to have a whole bunch of new stuff, or do you think they might be really rehashy out of BotCon and SDCC?
So, the Prime panel will be after... they're done airing. No, that day.
No, it's on a Sunday. Prime airs Saturdays, doesn't it?
10:16 is One Shall Rise Part 3.
Oh man, so it's on the day.
The day.
So that will be
the day.
And they're doing it at 11 in the morning.
Oh, they're saying that might be a typo. Since the 16th is a Sunday, it might have aired the day before. Regardless, it's going to be ending right about then. So I could definitely see a lot of, you know, next season, we're looking at doing this.
I am going to get in on that Prime panel.
I definitely see, I think some of it will be, hey, here's how we got to this point. And then, I don't know, if they don't mention it, I bet it would be something that would be very open in the Q&A to be like, you know, so what's going on next time?
I'm going to try to get in on that for sure. The Hasbro panel itself, I'm kind of interested in, because I've never seen a Hasbro Transformers panel at a non-BotCon or TFCon event.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what the atmosphere is going to be like there, although it also has me worried it might be a very redundant panel with a lot of, you know, rehashing for the layman kind of thing going on.
Yeah. That's the one panel that I'm not sure, because I think with Comic-Con, you're still going to have enough people that are geek enough to butcher that term. To appreciate it, but at the same time, I don't know how crazy they'll get with information, because it's not a focus audience. They'll probably show off like the last two waves of stuff that's in the stores, maybe an idea of what's coming up the next wave, get us about to where BotCon was.
Yeah, and the wording that it's about a pop culture brand has me thinking it's going to be a very general panel as opposed to an info-centric one, which is not a bad thing.
Almost like an investor type of deal. Hey, here's what we're doing in Transformers. Did you know that there's a TV show?
Yeah, it's probably also to show, like, hey, do you know Transformers is more than a live-action movie franchise? Like, here's a bunch of the stuff we're doing that are not...
Really, DVD back release. In the 80s, stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I think part of
it... These really blocky, heavy toys that would break if you looked at them wrong.
I think
we're still rolling on that.
Part of it is definitely to keep Transformers relevant and in the fan media.
Yeah.
To keep it in the fan media in a way outside of, yo, did you know Dark of the Moon's getting a DVD release? Of course you did, because it's a feature film.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the thing, because as far as the wide public sees, Transformers is wrapping up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
has wrapped up as soon as this DVD gets out. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's it. Good job.
Yeah. Hasbro's gotten pretty used to these really high sales and marketing because of the movies, so they're going to be struggling to kind of maintain that at this point.
Exactly. And I hope that the panel is constructed well to actually accomplish that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a real test, I think, of the coming couple years, is will Hasbro be able to keep a majority of the movie heat, you know, rolling and hot in the oven on non-movie properties, which I think is, it's not impossible. It'll die down, I think, interest-wise, for sure, but it's not impossible to still take advantage of the movie's, lingering heat and keep a lot of people interested through stuff like Prime and Generations and the Shout Factory DVDs. I'm curious to see that panel. I'm going to try to see it if I can. But I'm kind of jazzed because New York Comic Con is like a multifaceted convention, and I've rarely ever been to those. So
yeah,
I really want to do my part to try to cover as much as I can on many facets, Transformers being one of them. But I got to see the full schedule sometime and figure out where I want to be. I don't know if New York Comic Con is going to be a case where you have to line up an hour beforehand to get into the panels.
I don't think New York Comic Con's gotten that crazy yet.
I heard New York Comic Con's actually really small, compared to what you'd think it would be, being run by the same people who do San Diego. Which I'm hoping it's like the down to earth version of San Diego, with kind of like the TFCon to BotCon sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'd love, because then I feel a lot less pressure and probably a lot less stress running around there. But it should be fun also, because I got a press badge.
What?
I got a press badge.
Are you fancy?
I got a press badge by saying I'm the owner and proprietor of evangelist.ca.
Really?
Which I am.
And they fell for that?
It's not a lie.
Well, I know that it's not a lie, but that it actually means anything. I mean, well, I could be like, hey, I'm that, the owner and proprietor of my pants. They go, oh, okay.
They're the ones who brought it up. I put in on their online form for press badge because I'm trying to do some more legit stuff with the equipment I've been picking up, and I want to do more with evangelist.ca. And then they sent me an email back going, like, what's your position in your company? And I was like, how do I respond to that? My company is my YouTube channel and podcasts I do on other sites and my WordPress site. So, yeah, I'm going to try to give as much coverage as I can and make proper use of that press badge now that I have it. I want to try to make sure that I am doing right by whatever it allots me, although I don't know if it actually allots me anything in terms of panel seating. But we'll find out when I'm there.
Last year's attendance was 96,000.
That's not small.
No.
No, that's not.
Oh God. I also I'm going to try to record at least one WTF podcast while I'm there. look forward to appearances by New Yorkians. That's all I'm going to say.
New Yorkalites.
They're pretty high end. I still got it. Anyway, anything in there in those panels that you guys are hoping to hear about, or do you think that it's? I'm thinking it's going to be pretty low key, even the Prime one. But
yeah, I think the Prime one we may get some more clues as to what's going to be happening in season two. The general Hasbro one, we might be able to see a touch past what we saw at BotCon how many months ago.
Maybe some new Prime pictures.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe we'll get a whole amount of Prime toy lineup.
That would be cool.
More than just what we've kind of gotten. Because we only saw... I mean, we saw a limited amount of stuff that was coming out with Prime, so... Maybe? I don't know.
It's definitely a maybe, but... You know, I'm on the bright side, it also is way less pressure than a BotCon panel, I'm finding. Yeah. So, that's coming down the pipe. I'm kind of feeling happy to have finally shared that on the podcast. So,
we're
anyway.
Happy for you,
no,
Mr. Space Dragon.
Mr. Press Pass.
Mm.
You're getting up in my grill. You're going to jump me in New York. Just go like, "This New York style." And just like kick my ass.
Cap you with a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
Man, I have to use the New York subways.
Don't get urinated on.
As a kid raised in Canada, I was told all kinds of things about New York subways that I have trouble forgetting. Anyway, now that I've insulted everyone in New York, let's move along from there. How are we doing for time? What are we at? Not even an hour. You know what time it is?
Not even an hour.
It's,
yeah.
What time is it?
It's voicemail time. I crank up this voicemail we got here from Alan Garu, sent in on May 15th, 2011. I will be opening it up with a piece of software called VLC. I'm going to push stop and crank the volume up like thus, and then I'm going to hit a switch and get the voicemail going.
Hello, WTF and TFW crew. This is Alan Garu from the board calling with a listener question. With the recent creation of the Hub Channel, Transformer series now have a place to be put without risk of cancellation by an incompetent network. However, it also means that there are plenty of other Hasbro shows that are being put out. My question to you is, what other Hub shows besides Transformers Prime do you enjoy watching? Thank you for taking your time to answer this question. And yes, Seth, I love you too. Nice listener message. Bye.
Wait for it. Damn it. Anyway, his question is, what other Hub shows do we enjoy? And he also took a hella swing at Cartoon Network on the way out there. literally calling them incompetent.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not going to agree with.
I don't think they're incompetent. I think they're uncaring.
Exactly. There's a very small but sort of unimportant difference. But I found that kind of amusing. Anyway, other Hub shows that we enjoy. I'll let you guys start off. Omegas, have you been catching some other stuff on the Hub?
Unfortunately, I have not.
Oh, God.
Make that two.
Yeah.
What? What?
Sorry. I mean, I'd like to watch G.I. Joe, but by the time I got excited about that, I was halfway through it, so I needed to go back and download things, and I haven't quite done that yet. And then what else is there from our time frame? My Little Pony?
Well, there's this kind of
you did not mention
internet
the P word.
Wide movement about the My Little Pony cartoon. I'd been curious if either
that's
of you
okay.
had thought to check it out. You know?
I watched one with Gog and I went, wow, okay, yeah, that's sure is a whole lot of ponies.
Well, there you go. So you watched something
good.
from the Hub.
Yeah, but
go.
It's not like I watch it. I saw one time and went, okay, well, that happened.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Hub. I mean, it's a rerun channel essentially. Like I'm looking at how many shows they have on here. Like Fraggle Rock, Batman Beyond, the old Batman, you know, the old Transformers and G.I. Joe, Pound Puppies. You know, like I watched like half of this stuff already.
Yeah, but now you can watch it on TV.
I watched it on TV already.
But how old were you when you watched it on TV?
Like.
Can you quote me parts of Pound Puppies?
Yeah.
All right.
The part where...
What did they say in episode 13 at that time marking 7 minute 53 seconds?
They said, we have to get out of the pound, puppies.
They didn't say that.
Yeah. So there.
Yeah, that, know, I mean...
If you had watched it on the hub, you would know what they said. That's the point I'm making. So, I don't know. I'm just being argumentative.
Yeah, you are. like I said, I mean, there's programming on there. But, well.
Is it not perhaps your programming?
No, it's not. Aww. It's not my programming. It's...
Well, let me tell you all about G.I. Joe Renegades, all right? Okay. I haven't watched it yet, but I know I'm going to, and I'm going to enjoy it. All right, let me tell you all about My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, all right?
Oh, God.
I watched the opening two episodes. I thought they were pretty cool, and I've never watched it since, but I still watched the opening two episodes, so I haven't really watched anything off the hub either.
Yeah. I actually had a friend of mine admit to me that he was a brony, but at the same time, he could not bring himself to suggest an episode.
Why do people need to admit to being a brony, though? It's all the psycho fans who make it such a big deal that make it so difficult for people to, like... I mean, what on earth, like, is the concept of coming out as a brony? To me, it's just ludicrous. All right? You like a show. You like a show. It's simple as that.
It was just... hysterical. Like, I'm in a Skype chat with him, and he's trying to suggest the episode that he wanted me to watch. For record, I have not.
Why not?
Nor have I watched any.
You should. But you should. Watch
one episode and go, wow, so that's My Little Pony. Like I did. And
someone actually tried to Trojan horse it because Scott McNeil was in an episode. Like, I mean, no, not falling for it.
I would love to catch the season 2 premiere because John DeLancey was in it, basically apparently playing Q. And I love me some Q, so that's a great way to get me interested. But, you know, I liked the opening two episodes, and then everyone who I told I watched the opening two episodes to, like, I say, oh, I saw the opening two-parter, and said, oh, you shouldn't think about, like, because they thought I was saying that as a downer, and they're like, no, the show gets better, and I'm like, but I like the opening two-parter, and then they're like, well, the show's nothing like that, it gets way better, I'm like, but I like it when it's a doofy action show with five ponies with magic powers fighting people in the moon, and if it's not like that, then I'm sure it's cool, but I'm less interested in it now. And, you know, that's about that for me. But, you know, this whole notion of, like, you know, oh, man, those damn bronies. And then that combined with, oh, man, we're bronies, thus we must make sure everyone knows it. It's all like, you know, you're exactly the same fandom that we are. You're all the same fandom as every other cartoon fandom. Not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just enjoy your show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, talking to my friend, seemed like there's a shame to being a brony to the point where he's trying to suggest an episode, and to protect his own manhood, he has to say it backwards.
There's no
shame. So he's
shame.
Telling me, yeah, Rainbow Sonic 16 episode 1 season magic is friendship.
That is the very thing that I think perpetuates the negative stereotype. If people are like, oh man, I don't want to, you know, I kind of like this My Little Pony thing. It's like, you know what? Especially if you're an adult, it's your choice to watch it. It's a technically sound show. It's a piece of television animation. It's incredibly well done, and it has really strong performance in it from what little I've seen. And,
right. The episode that I saw, it was not like it was poorly constructed. It was, you know, it looked good for what it was. It's just My Little Pony doesn't have the catch to it that Transformers does due to childhood, or even G.I. Joe has, you know, the catch to it due to childhood, and that I know some of that stuff. It's just going into something completely without that touchstone of, you know, okay, I don't know who these characters are. I was even trying to come up with the name of one, and it wasn't, you know, there's...
Fluttershy is my favorite.
Yeah, if you said name My Little Pony or I'm shooting you in the head, I'm going to be like, all right.
Well, I mean, I can name it. Fluttershy, Pinkie Pie, Rainbow Dash, the other one.
Three or four
Applejack.
Past me there.
Applejack, that's the other one, right? Right? Am I right?
I sure.
Let's just say you're right.
I'm asking the wrong people.
Exactly.
Am I right?
You know, so it's just one of those things where, you know, for that show at least, there's no catch for me. And then a lot of the other...
Did Powerpuff Girls go through this?
Question.
Like, did Powerpuff Girls go through this the same strange, like,
I don't know.
The internet fandom has to act like it's a crazy thing?
Well, Powerpuff Girls had this weird thing where it snuck in enough meta humor for adults that as a boy you can enjoy it too.
Yeah, and, like, and I mean, it's the same...
Yeah, they had a whole episode based on the Beatles. What kid would have gotten that?
And Powerpuff Girls, I mean, that's part of the draw of this, is, as I understand it. It's I can't remember her title in Powerpuff Girls, but it's done by someone who worked on that show, if I understand things correctly, who's leading Friendship is Magic. And so, especially when I saw just all the stigma, and I don't mean negative or positive, I mean just the stigma that has been perpetuated by both hyper fans and hyper non-fans, I was sitting there going, like, did Powerpuff Girls, because I know there were tons of people who were, you know, readily able to say, yo, I kind of dig Powerpuff Girls, and weren't, you know, like, oh, hey guys, you should watch this episode of Powerpuff Girls, because, you know, there's a really cool main character in it, you know, he's got balls and everything, it's great.
Yeah,
like, you know, this whole bronies thing that and, you know, the media is blowing up, that these parent groups are blowing up, that the internet is blowing up, it's, to me, it's just all so silly because it's just a fandom.
Yeah,
just like
I think
every
what
other
part
fandom.
Of it is it maybe overreaction compounded by overreaction. So
it is totally.
The people that like My Little Ponies really like it. And so I'm going to tell everybody, hey, this is a great show. You really need to watch it. So it becomes like the vocal minority issue where, wow, it seems like everybody's talking about this. I don't care. It's My Little Ponies, whatever. And so then it's like antagonistic of,
oh,
look, I don't, okay, you like it. Good job. I don't care. Oh, no,
yeah, there's definitely this weird,
it's this
kind of, not mob rule, but it's this kind of thing of like, well, if you don't like it, then I bet you're harboring some kind of, you know, dislike of me for liking it. And it's like, no, that's not the case. And then on the other side of the coin, I definitely think it's become the case as well, where people say like, oh, you like My Little Pony. You must be one of those psychopaths who can't shut up about it ever and then gets mad when we don't like it. And it's like, no, there's tons of people who like this new My Little Pony show who are totally normal. You know,
I almost think that's one reason why I haven't watched it, because I'm scared of turning into that.
Like, you're, I mean,
it's like,
you can
if
tell
that's what
if
it does to you, I don't want to start.
No, it's not. That's nothing to worry. I mean, you can tell if you're going to become a super fan of something just by looking at your other fandoms, I think. And, you know, maybe there are folks who get really into it because they were just looking for that hyper fandom to have. Like, you know, they're fans of stuff, but they hadn't yet found that hyper fandom. And, you know, I hope that they're happy with it. Just, you know, in 3 or 4 years, everyone's going to look back at this going like, oh, that was so silly how, you know, everyone treated My Little Pony Friendship is Magic as though it was some kind of absolutely unique entity, when it was, at the end of the day, an effective piece of children's television, as many other fandoms are based around. Only in this case, it was not for boys' toys, it was for girls' toys. And that's like, that is the main difference at the end of the day. All of the clever writing, all the great stuff thrown in for the older fan base and for the brony fan base, as I suppose one can call them, although I hate the fact that brony is being used as this catch-all term, kind of like I hate the term G1er, but you know, it's an intelligently put together show. And in a couple years, I'm sure a lot of people will look back at all this crazy argument and re-argument and strife, and then, you know, retaliatory strife, and go like, wow, the internet had nothing better to do that year, did they? I don't know. And I always get on these little rants because I, you know, any pocket of the internet you go to right now, you see people hotly debating this. And to me, it's just so silly to get so worked up about it in either direction, because it's another show people dig, you know? I think that a similar thing kind of happened with Doctor Who over the perpetuation of the modern show. Yeah. Only Doctor Who wasn't, you know, for girls' toys. And guess what? A lot of online fandoms are heavily populated by guys, because that's the way the internet is right now. So I guess that factors into it in some degree. But, you know, it's just enjoy what you enjoy. And if people like something, you don't like it, then just walk away when they talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so strange. But and this all came about, of course, because the question was, what do we watch on the hub? And it's hard to ask that question without My Little Pony coming up in the middle of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've got fans of the show who are listeners, and we've had questions about it before. And so I always feel like I got to throw out a couple words here and there. Hopefully I can help out a little bit in calming everyone the F down about the show and about people who are into the show. And unfortunately, this also has revealed that none of us have watched Renegades, which is horrible. I already felt bad that I hadn't watched it, but I kind of tempered that with the fact that I don't get the hub in my country very easily. Because that I heard that show was fantastic.
I have situated myself in the unfortunate role of the cartoon guy, so I fear Renegades, My Little Pony, and all this will... It's in my inevitable future, cannot avoid it, just because they won't shut up until I say something about it. So,
well, I mean, the My Little Pony thing is far more of an internet syndrome right now than anything related to media types, I think. My Little Pony stuff is the excuse
of working like 13 hours yesterday, so I didn't have time in there to look for it. Yeah, that's totally
no time for ponies today.
Well, I kind of hit something with G.I. Joe Renegades when I saw that first reviews are going up of, you know, some of the first release Renegades based toys. I saw the Cobra Commander. I was like, oh, he looks really cool. I don't know why he looks like that. Oh yeah, a whole show happened. I guess I should go watch it.
Something's going on. I don't know.
He looks really cool. He's got the faceplate, but no helmet, so he looks really spooky. It's kind of like the villain from V-Doc, if anyone out there has seen that movie. Probably the only one. But anyway, let's move on from there, because now I've almost hypocriticized my own point by spending so long talking about My Little Pony when I'm saying it's not all that big a deal. thanks for your question, Alan Garu. We'll move on to a written question from Soundwave Prime 1. Starts off by saying, not sure if this is the right place, but whatever. This was sent in July 10th, 2011. It was the right place. The question reads, sup, V-Man and the crew. I have some listener questions for you guys. 1: due to a twisted series of events, Transformers are now owned by Shocker Toys. What is your reaction? Yo, you guys got served with a court order at SDCC. Ha, 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 ha. That's my reaction. But what's your reaction?
They actually get like served on the floor
at their panel.
Uh huh.
During the Q&A. Didn't you know this?
No.
It was glorious.
Dude, at Shocker Toys Q&A at San Diego, someone who was about to file a court order with them went up to ask them a question at the microphone and pulled out the court order and served them at their own panel. And there's no video proof of it, but people were there and they said it happened. And no one was recording, damn it. So that's not how I would react myself. But how would you guys react to Shocker Toys getting the Transformers license somehow?
Good lord, Hasbro lost a ton of money on those Nerf guns.
Yeah.
First question would be, how the hell did this happen?
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what Shocker Toys actually is.
Oh, Shocker Toys. You go ahead.
Shocker Toys does a bunch of indie comics figures. Yeah.
No, that's already filling in some gaps. They are meaning to do some indie comics figures that are totally going to come out this year. Trust me, they're going to come out this year.
Yeah, because their website, I'm like, okay, click for more info on our things. Posted November 30th, 2009.
No, trust me, they're coming out this year. Don't worry about it. They're coming out. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's like the check. The check's in the mail. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, unless it's a mail-away figure, then you expect it around 2016.
Yeah. So, If they got the Transformers license, I'd say, well, I'm looking forward to the new Transformers series coming out, hopefully in the next 5 years. Maybe we'll get a convention toy next year, and good times. Moving on to question number 2. BotCon 2012 is GoBots themed. Who do you want, and what molds? Well, after last week, I want Psycho. But I would also like
a Psycho.
I hate you. I just want Psycho. I don't know what mold to make him out of. I guess... Actually, you know what? I want them to take Animated RC and make two characters. Make Crasher and then make a new head mold and make it into, like, Femme's Psycho.
Man.
Because Animated RC...
She doesn't work at all for Psycho.
Animated RC without the fins, the vehicle mode kind of looks that shape, doesn't it?
Well, the vehicle does, but not the alt.
Well, no, I mean, you'd have to give up the robot mode completely, but I'd love to see this weird take of, like, Femme's Psycho with a blank dome face with a little dot in the middle that shoots a laser. I don't know.
Well, that is the official mold of changing character genders.
Exactly. It's just join the fine tradition of drag strip and whatnot. What about you, Omegas? What GoBot would you like to see done?
I always wondered, and I'm kind of shocked that they never did this before. I wanted to see Armada Thrust as Phytor.
That could be really cool.
Because it just seemed like it would have worked so well. Because he's kind of reminds me as a GoBot as it is.
And I like Phytor.
Yeah.
He's always kind of been a long-suffering character, if I remember right.
I would always love another Crasher figure, but I'm hard pressed to find anyone like I
the
love
animated RC that White Mocha did is the only one I can think of.
But here's the thing. It's just too, the mold is too femmy. Like, I feel the same about the Mirage mold they used.
Well, the Mirage one at least hit this nice balance of it's a sort of feminine-ish mold, but it's meant to be a male character, so you kind of get that.
Yeah.
You get the impression of it, but I would love to see a broad-shouldered Crasher done.
Yeah.
You know, with block fists.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah, if it hadn't been so long since they did that, I do not remember what they call that racer that Crasher turned into. They haven't.
It's the dome-ish ones.
Yeah, the dome-ish ones.
Not F1, but.
Yeah.
Aww.
Where's Proto-Man when you need him?
He's not. He's in Quebec.
Damn him!
Poutine. He's going to reply to this.
I know they haven't used that design since Daytonas in RID.
That's true.
Back to RID again.
Well, I guess we could. You know, okay, this sucked, but give us Daytonas as Crasher, because then it would literally be a GoBot turned Transformer turned into a real GoBot. There you go. Aaron, what about you? What GoBot would you like to see?
Actually, I had it pop into mind, and I had to check some images that wouldn't be too bad would be Armada sideways into Psykill.
That could work. I mean, I kind of don't like the base figure for a few reasons, but...
Well, no, that's why you make the mini-cons. You remold the mini-cons for the head, although the round head is kind of close. I don't know.
And also, I'd really
that
like
was,
it
that
if,
was the first reaction.
While you're
and
doing
you talked
all that,
about having like that show that mold before too. So
while you're doing all that, maybe you could give it some elbows and knees, and then that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
I also want to just say big pats on the back for nobody being a clever guy and going like, I think they should do Bug Bite. they did that already.
I figure if you do Psykill, I always figure the animated oil slick would have been the best bet.
Well, that's a really obvious one because it even mirrors his transformation scheme. But I kind of would like to see them not go with the absolute obvious route, although hopefully not to a detriment.
Okay, we'll do Psykill out of Movie Bone Crusher. How about that?
Yes.
Totally not obvious.
We'll do Psykill out of Voyager animated Optimus. No, I'm not going to start that. thank you for that question. I think he had one more. Yes, he had one more. What is your worst toy hunt experience? He goes on to say, thanks for answering my questions and keep up the good work. P.S. Click. Thank you, Soundwave Prime. That's what I like. So what's your worst toy hunt experience, Aaron?
Just the general not finding anything? No.
How about that?
The time I had somebody try and convince me that they were me.
Okay, that's new. I didn't know about that one.
Oh no, that happened years ago. I've told the story at a couple of BotCons.
I haven't heard it.
Was it Toys R Us in town? And I'm trying to even think what this would have been. Oh, Armada ish.
Yeah.
So quite a while ago. And the story roughly goes, saw a dude looking at Transformers, and he was kind of doing the finger flip, looking back through things, and saw me and kind of did the whole startled animal, huh? Pause for a little bit, like somebody else was looking at toys, and just was chill, and, you know, hey, how's it going? So, you know, oh, you collect? Yeah, I collect. Oh, you know, that's cool. And so he's like, so are you online or anything? I'm like, yeah, I frequent some boards. I think at the time I was a news guy for I would have been TFW at that point, maybe.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A little bit later. And I'm like, yeah, I'm online. I didn't want to be like, yeah, because I still was not really sure how cool internets were. And he goes, oh, well, do you go to 2005 boards? I was like, well, yeah, I do. He goes, oh, okay, I'm Axbeth. I was like, really? Really? Because that's my username, because it goes with Aaron Smith, which is my real name. He goes, no, I meant, are you Axe Smith? And it was just like suddenly he went from being all, yeah, to, oh, no.
But why would he even... I mean, yeah. You said you're a news staff. Maybe that added to it, but I can't comprehend why someone would just be like, "Yeah, I'm Tony B. I'm Tony Bacala." Yeah. Like, "Yo, I'm Chicken, or I'm Mr. Biatis." You know, like just pulling a username out of the top of your head.
Yeah, just you know, especially say who in
2002, 2003, when it's just like we had such small sites back then.
Right, you know, which that might have been part of it because maybe he. I mean, obviously, you know, he's. On 2005 at the time, maybe he just saw West Lafayette and thought, hey, I can be this cool person and try and impress someone.
Oh, I see. Now you're a cool person all of a sudden. I get it.
Well, I don't know. That's why it just blew my mind at the time. Because, I mean,
That era, I mean, that would be like saying, you know, someone's like, oh, you're on a board? Or, no, it'd be like him saying, like, oh, you're on a board? Yeah, well, I'm Soundwave Prime 1 because it's the last name he saw on the board or something.
Right.
It'd be like... I mean, I can't comprehend why you would do that. That's so crazy. Yeah. That's an awesome. So
well, I mean, that'd be like somebody running into you and on Vangelis Island and saying, "Yeah, I'm Vangelis."
That would be
or Vangel One Us on YouTube.
I guess because it's also your own name that makes it even stranger.
Right.
That would be like if Mr. Biatis ran into someone who said that he was Mr. Biatis from 2005.
Right.
You know,
So I guess that's an odd Toy Hunt story because the rest of my day was like,
I gotta wonder how many times he tried
restraining
that.
Orders.
Yeah, who else thought he was Axe Smith?
That's the other thing that ran in my mind for a little bit. It's like, okay, I now need to go to every Transformers board and make sure that this random string of six characters is available because, well, crap.
I ran into Axe Smith the other day. What a dick.
Yeah, has this guy been walking around going like, yo, I'm Axe Smith, and I'm the hot nuts. Let me tell you all how cool I am.
That's where I feel sorry for guys that try to be like Soundwave on a Transformers board because, you know, that's not going to happen. That's part of the whole reason for the whole AKS-MTH thing was it was my name without the I in Smith because nobody on the internet had that. Having the last name of Smith for any site that I originally signed up for in high school and whatnot, I couldn't get a username that wasn't like A Smith 2005 or something like that, and I didn't like that. And so I just dropped the I out of Smith, and lo and behold, that was available. So that's always been my MO across the internet.
Yeah.
And to have somebody claim to be Axe Smith, which I... try not to even do that, because then you lead to people trying to drop an I into it, and there's some poor AKSMITH on Gmail that occasionally will get email from me, and then I'll meet someone in real life like, hey, why don't you reply to my email? I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Oh, I emailed you. Pull out my phone. No, you didn't. Wait a second.
Oh, wait, pull out your phone, but this is Armada era, so in 2002, would your phone have been able to do that?
No, it wouldn't have been able to.
Pull out your laptop and jacked into the local LAN.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know, laptop, too. Yeah, it might have had Wi-Fi, but it would have been real crappy. But, that's my experience.
Back then, I had a Wi-Fi card in my laptop that was like an external, like, you know those big metal cards you used to stick in the laptops in the PCI slot? Like that kind of thing? Yeah, I had one of those. It sucked. It had this big ball sticking out of my laptop. I'm filling all this in because there's no possible way me or Omegas can possibly top that story in any way,
shape, I've never been impersonated.
I mean, we can't come close. Okay, Omegas, what is your worst Toy Hunt experience? I mean, did you find a guy who looked exactly like you and then said, oh, I thought I killed the rest?
No, it's a little hard to impersonate you when you're a video talent. I've been trying to remember. I am trying to remember what my worst Toy Hunt experience was because, God...
like Aaron said, in my case, it really amounts to, like, in recent memory, did I go out hunting and find anything or not? And I don't think it's the worst if I didn't find anything. It's just it's a bummer. I guess, like, the last really bad one that happened had a good ending, which was back when the G3 trailer was new. I saw it in a store in Richmond. I went to a bank machine to get money to buy it because no one had it yet. And when I got back, it had sold. But then the aftermath of that story is... that I made a little vlog telling that story, and that led to Fans Project sending me a review sample. So that's not really a worst experience. I don't know. I don't really have an answer other than, I mean, there's that time that mother gave me a nasty look, like back in 08. So I made it rain on her with all my cash.
like there's typical stuff, you know, I've ordered things for double what they should go for only to find them at a store while I'm waiting on them. I mean, that's typical stuff.
That happened to me with Longhaul from Revenge of the Fallen. Nicole Hailstorm got me one, and while it was in transit, I found one locally, and I was like, oh, I really want the Josh Nizzi
that
robot.
That happened to me on all four of the final Energon combiners. the only really bad one I can remember was during Armada when I was doing my usual toy hopping. You know, this akin to, hitting 6-7 stores and only getting one piece of Ruination during RID. Yeah. But I was doing my usual toy hopping, and I hit Kmart, and there's the Armada Nemesis Prime, like, hanging on the peg. And I'm like, just a repaint. I've got other stores to go to. So I go to my other stores, you know, I spend the budget for the day, I come home and going, hey, I got all this, got this, saw a Nemesis Prime, I passed that, and someone, like, digitally slapped me in the face. No one can find that! God, what were you doing? Long gone by the time I actually got back.
If we're gonna go into a case of like maybe regretful spending, I have two stories. One of them is when Armada Laserbeak was new. I was desperately trying to find Armada toys at the time because they were new, and I went to Toys R Us and even had a friend in tow who we were gonna go hang out afterwards. And the only new Armada toy I could find was Laserbeak, so I paid full retail price, that deluxe plus price that Laserbeak cost, for Armada Laserbeak new, and I didn't really need to spend that. And then for another regretful purchase, I pre-ordered all of the Figma Dragon Knight Figmas. I paid full retail on every single one. Well, not full, but I paid the full AmiAmi price on every single one. Half those things went on sale for 1,000 yen the week after they finished coming out. So, that sucked too. But, I hope that answered your listener questions. I forgot your name now. Soundwave Prime 1. We also have a listener question from Ace Convoy. That question, by the way, was sent in on July 10th. Ace Convoy's question was sent in on July 14th of this year. His question is, all in my thread here, smiley face, Starscream head, Ace Convoy. So, Aaron, what do you think about this question? All in my thread here, yes or no?
I don't want to be bad here, but English first language?
Wow, that's a dick move.
That's not a sentence. That's like a sentence fragment.
Oh dear.
I'm just,
well, okay. Let's go. Let's go to someone who's maybe a little bit less offensive. Omegas, what do you think? All in this thread here, yes or no?
You forgot the smiley face. It's the most important part of the question.
Well, yeah, the smiley face was there. What do you think about this?
Let's see. Exclamation point! Question mark! Crying face.
Well, you know what I didn't tell you guys is that the word Starscream head was a link to a thread.
Oh my gosh.
So there is an actual question in there. I was just being a jerk. So he was watching Evangelion back in July over 2 days when he noticed that Starscream's head resembles an Evangelion. So he has a picture of a movie Starscream head, and he has a picture of Eva Zero-One's head. He says, like, so what do you think? I mean, they have smooth lines, so I can kind of see it, but I don't know if it's more coincidence than direct.
I don't think there's any direct lineage there. I think they're both kind of like samurai helmet, where they're sloped out and low to the neck for, you know, the samurai helmet would have been for deflecting sword blows. And it's just kind of the same theme where it's not a modern humanoid head or a modern humanoid head with a modern, like, ballistic helmet, because you don't need to have deflection leading down to shoulder armor, so it looks different for similar reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to point out that I'm not totally well-versed in my behind-the-scenes movie footage and information, so yeah. Perhaps it was actually stated on a DVD extra it was directly inspired, in which case, you know, guess what? I love the taste of crow because I deep-fry it. But, I mean, personally, I think it's very just coincidental, and it's more so just what looks like a cool, sleek robot while this does. And, I mean, Evangelion's also old now, so
yeah, it very well could be.
Yeah. Omegas, what do you think about the comparisons here?
I can see where you get the idea with the, you know, with the slope sides at the bottom of the helmet, but other than that, I really don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly like I'll definitely echo that. I certainly don't think this is a ludicrous comparison. It's obviously, you know, there's obvious similarities between the two that anyone can see, but
there are
similarities that are also they're so much based on concepts and more vagaries that I think that they're more coincidental than anything myself. I mean, if it was on purpose, then hey, cool. Evangelion got to be messed with by ILM to make Transformers heads.
Right.
That'd be neat. But I don't think it was highly intentional or anything myself. So. Hope that answered your question, Ace Convoy. I hope you don't mind my little messing around in the beginning either. We're gonna take.
Not, but I do.
I don't care. Oh! We're gonna take a break
for
an intermission.
I'm not buying you a Nerf gun now.
Oh. We're gonna take a break so me and Aaron can kiss and make up, and you guys will hear an intermission, and then we'll be back with some what we got this week.
Face it. You're either on one end of a Nerf weapon or the other. Time to choose. So you better think about getting yourself a bow and arrow or a Nerf missile storm. Excuse me, don't you just love this? Or an arrow storm. Or a very good hiding place. Don't you get it? It's Nerf or nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're coming at you real hardcore, all wasabi style. I am your rice, and I am your raw fish. Aaron is my seaweed, and Omegas is my soy sauce.
If you're going to do it right, it's nori, not just seaweed.
Oh, that
seaweed
means you
is
right.
Veiny and nasty.
Is nori a non-Newtonian nori. Fluid?
No, it's not.
Oh, it should
maybe
be.
as they're in the... the manufacturing process when they've got it shredded and everything, it could be. But in the finished process, it's a sheet,
well,
which is a solid.
Damn it. Hey, guys, what did you get this week? Anyone get any Transformers?
Barely.
But you got a Transformer?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness, because I got none. Aaron.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Let me just throw this out here. I can't find anything new. There's nothing new. It's all Wave 2.
Yeah.
It's,
yep.
I got all Wave 2 3 months ago. I'm all set, you know? So, Aaron, what Transformers did you get this week?
Transformer, Human Alliance Roadbuster with the corrected paint scheme.
Wait, what's the corrected paint scheme?
So the first ones that came out, it's a very NASCAR thing, and that NASCAR licensed products are supposed to be as close to the actual car as possible, and Transformers kind of got a little bit of a glitch because that's all the crazy mech tech stuff.
Yeah.
However...
Well, Human Alliance Roadbuster, by its very nature, is kind of not like it looks in NASCAR, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like...
But what happened was, so the car that he is modeled after, let me grab him.
I actually was just grabbing mine because I want to know if I have the corrected one or not.
So look on his roof.
Yep.
Is it just 88 or does it have like a shadow effect behind it?
It has a shadow effect behind it.
Okay. That is the corrected. That's how it should look.
So you mean the drop shadow wasn't there on some of them?
Yes. The very first wave of them that came out did not have the drop shadow. And I actually, I believe there was somebody on the boards that was part of the graphic design process of the thing that was stating his displeasure at how it was a very bland 88. While we're doing this, I'm trying to drag out time so I can find a picture for it, but it's not showing up.
Oh, well, I can imagine what this looks like without the drop shadow.
Yeah, so it just did not look so good.
Yeah.
So that's potentially, I've heard that as a reason as to why the Dark of the Moon stuff, the Roadbuster, Human Alliance up and disappeared, because it was wrong, and that NASCAR had the power to say, hey, no, that's not right.
Recall that and add the drop
shadow. Yeah, get that in there.
Can you access briefly the collector Aaron of 2001, 2002 and ask him how much of a hunt he would go on for the non-drop shadowed Roadbuster?
Oh, that would have been crazy town. Okay, here actually is a product listing, again, great for the listeners, of a...
By the way, this 88, nonetheless, it still has a TM tampoed on the bottom corner of the right 8. That can't possibly be NASCAR accurate.
It might be.
Really?
Yeah, they take their logos and branding stuff very seriously.
So the real car has a giant TM. I see what you mean now.
Yeah, so yeah. It's almost like it's a different font of number.
Oh, and it looks like. And the red directly on the green is
looks
real ugly on the eyes. Yeah. I can see exactly why they'd want to. The white's not even there, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. So it massively different paint scheme.
For the better, I'd say.
For at least as far as NASCAR people go, because those guys are crazy as far as accuracy goes. That's why if you look on any Dark of the Moon toy that is a NASCAR product, it will have a serial numbered hologram sticker on it as your certificate of authenticity an authentic NASCAR product.
I almost tried to keep those stickers and I was like, what are you doing, man? You don't even care about NASCAR.
That's even where like hats and shirts and stuff will have a unique ID deal for it. But
well, I mean, all that aside, what do you think of the actual toy?
There are so many points where I'm not sure if it's a victim of some of the mech teched out mode or not.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The headlights that he have, almost because they flip down for his robot mode, it almost looks like it can flip down in his alt mode.
I spent
but it can't.
Long time trying to figure out a way to get those down until I realized that it's kind of like the Deluxe Bumblebee's fake windshields on his doors.
Yeah.
Or fake windows on his doors.
The same thing with his missile pods almost look like there's a way that maybe they could tuck and fold into his doors, and his doors almost look like they could shut. And you can kind of get them to shut, but you really have to stress stuff out. Yeah, there's a gap in there, but then there's also a peg and a slot, it looks like. And so there are a lot of things. It's like, it would be really nice if maybe this mech tech stuff was clip-on, or was engineered in such a manner to maybe not be like crazy mech tech, but just slightly mech teched out.
Yeah.
And then as part of the play feature of the toy, you can, you know, pop the doors out, rotate out the missile launchers, and have the chainsaw gun or thing or whatever pop out. So there's part of me that kind of gets confused over what it's aiming for, because it looks really cool all mech teched out, but it seems like they could put a playability factor into that that's just not there. But
you know what credit I give it though for the mech tech look is that it's mech teched out, but you don't see obvious robot parts from the top down view.
Oh yeah,
I think that's definitely a boon to it, that it's got all this exposed stuff, but it's also not like, and since it's all exposed, you can see the legs there too, why not, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, beyond that, I think he's a lot better than Leadfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Just Leadfoot's gut gets me so bad. I mean, and he has a weird, like, anti-gut, the way that everything kind of collapses together. You can see his spine very clearly.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bother me quite as much than having a big, weird gap, because you can kind of fold some parts in to fill it up, and it's not like I kind of have to fold this piece like this, but balance it on that so that that doesn't pop out. He has pieces that can legitimately move around on their own to fill it in, at least from a look on the front. So
I kind of found he was way more intuitively designed myself.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
His final robot mode is at the end of the day a solid bipedal robot. That's
yeah. I did the transformation without instructions like I normally try to do right off the bat. And then looked at it, and I think I missed one of the additional fold bits on the door forearm part. Me too. To tighten that up.
I spent a while trying to figure out where I'm supposed to peg the chainsaw in, and then I realized I can fold a panel down to reveal the mech deck hole. I was like, oh! Yeah.
But it was just, it was... He's all right. I picked him up 3/4 just because, holy crap, it's a new product that I was interested in that I saw.
Yeah.
And I went back because I had somebody, I tweeted a picture in excitement, and then I had somebody ask about, hey, do they have the other one? I'd like to buy it. And went back and it was gone, and I just had one of the little missile pieces just pop off. Okay, that's it. He's got one missile launched out of his little missile launcher. Wow. You heard it here live. The little plastic pieces sticking out are kind of fragile.
Oh, really?
And there goes another one.
I'm going to stop poking at mine now.
Yeah, do that. Or don't do that. On one of the... So he has his big spam missile pod things over the shoulder, and one of the corner ones was bent in a little bit, and I just went, oh, what? Ink? Oh, okay. So apparently those are fragile.
Good to know.
The wise, you heard it here fourth.
Good to know. Get a radical.
Like any Human Alliance, yeah. Like any Human Alliance toy, he's good size. He's got plenty of places that a human can stand or sit and kind of pretend to control things.
Yeah, I like the well, especially on Roadbuster. He's kind of got a place for the human to sit, but it's just sort of like it's not right. not nearly as play set ish as previous ones I found.
Yeah, you can have him leaning way back behind everything with his missile shoulder pod out and holding the one bit of handle, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe sort of. But
so overall though, do you feel that it's a worthy Human Alliance toy or?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, aside from parts breaking on air. he's got another one of the sunglass gimmicks.
Yeah, and it works. You know,
it works.
As far as the sunglass gimmick works, as far as do you ever want to show one of those particular head sculpts? I think it's kind of like only one of them really looks any good myself. But,
yeah. He's a Human Alliance toy. He kind of continues that line.
Yeah, I wish he was more of an improvement than a status quo. I think I said that somewhere else.
More so with
Leadfoot, though.
Yeah, Leadfoot is not an improvement or a status quo. He's a...
Which is a bummer.
So that happened. Yeah. But that is it for Aaron and new Transformers, despite trying.
Oh, dear. Well, Omegas, did you get any new Transformers?
Nothing new, but yes, I did acquire ones that I did not have before.
Answer carefully. Uh-huh. You're like, nothing new, but I got something kind of new, and maybe...
Just want to be specific here.
So you also just got a Transformer this week.
A Transformer and a half.
That's an interesting...
Transformer...
I want to know the story now.
Yeah. Well, no, I did not buy like the lower legs of a Transformer. Let's just clear that up. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Bought half of that Duocon I've been missing all these years.
The best. I've always wanted half a Duocon, so it's just a monocon.
No, since I found a good deal for it on the boards, picked up Bakon Galvatron.
Oh, you were interested in that one, weren't you?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I went into 2010, they had just introduced that character. It was a mold that Botcon hadn't used before, and I was dead certain they were going to use that as one of the souvenir sets.
Yeah.
All the way going up to the line until you actually saw the ones that they actually done. I was like, oh, I wanted that Galvatron so bad. So this is me wanting this toy for a year before it existed.
But you got it.
I got it. And I never... luckily for me, it's a mold that I don't get tired of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite ones out of Cybertron. And you do have to kind of squint just a little bit, but it does pass as a Galvatron.
If they somehow remolded that head crown to be just a bit taller, I think it would have worked so well.
Yeah. Well, the rough thing is, though, if you were to do a tiny mod like that, you're already changing it, so you might as well do it.
Yeah.
You know, a little bump is just as expensive as a big bump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They are lucky in that it is a Galvatron-esque head. It does have 3 points on it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I am surprised how much of the toy does work as a Galvatron. I mean, just with the mold colors, how they can reposition it. You know, he does have separated abs that work for Galvatron arm weapons.
And it kind of helps that he is a quote-unquote heroic Galvatron, so you can skip some of the stranger parts of that head sculpt. Primarily the face, I think, is what sticks with me.
Right. I've wanted a shattered glass figure without, breaking the bank.
Yeah.
So, while it's a really cool figure, I love what they did here. There's still part of me that's kind of disappointed because I'm not getting the shattered glass effect from him.
Mm-hmm.
It's Galvatron as a rescue helicopter, but it's still obviously Galvatron, and it's his color pattern and everything.
Yeah.
I know that's what they did for Megatron, too, mostly. I mean, it's the... it's the blue version of Megatron, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, it doesn't have the right feel for shattered glass, unfortunately. It
doesn't give you that kind of I'm trying to figure out the mirror universe approach on this kind of pop.
Yeah. It's I feel like it should be in Rodimus Prime colors.
Yeah, they already did that with Cyclonus.
I know. Yeah, I know.
So I guess that almost kind of stuck them. It is kind of odd that he full on is just Galvatron as a rescue copter as opposed to some kind of strange color play. But
yeah, I mean, it's it's the psycho Galvatron that turns into the, biggest weapon possible into a rescue copter. So yeah, it's completely backwards, but yeah, I still identify it as Galvatron looking at him. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like that's what Shattered Glass is supposed to do.
Well, don't worry. There's going to be a Shattered Glass Deadpool coming soon, so you'll be all set with a new color scheme.
Oh, yeah, sure, uh-huh. Now, I want to get some actual Shattered Glass down the line. I want that freaking gold bug.
That one is nice.
Yeah.
That one is really nice, and I think it's a very underrated one, too.
Yeah. It's again, using one of my favorite Cybertron molds, but again, I'm drawn to these ones that aren't technically Shattered Glass, because that's still yellow with a blue head. That's still Gold Bug.
But if it helps at all, he's way more like a Stealth Ops Gold Bug than your average Gold Bug.
Yeah.
Like the flipped.
Yeah,
it looks absolutely awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he does a little bit more to help with the effect, but it certainly isn't as huge as the red to purple or the black Rodimus or stuff like that.
Yeah. Just at some point, I want something. Like the Starscream or something. Just this is obviously.
Oh, the Starscream is a
mirror
great
universe.
One, I think.
Yeah,
I know that one's not very popular from what I hear, but I thought that was a great idea. It just made so much more sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really cool. And you said you have a Transformer and a half. So what's the half?
Yeah, it is a Transformers toy, but technically not really Transformers-esque.
It's Transformers.
Transformer-branded toy.
Exactly.
Since my Walmart is currently upgrading into a Super Walmart, they're clearing out everything that hasn't sold in the last 4 months, and that included the Energon Shock Saber.
That's still Transformers.
Yeah.
It's still Transformers, but barely.
It's Transformers enough for me.
Aww. Someone accepts you.
Hooray.
But for $5,
$5, yes, buy that thing. Yeah. Holy crap. I'd want one for $5.
Yeah. Well, I got it. Well, this is me we're talking about. I got it with the hopes that this thing would be worse than it looks.
Well, how did it turn out?
Well, for starters, it is way too heavy. I mean, the hilt is so, like, nightmarishly out of proportion with the blade and the handle.
Hmm.
You gotta have balance in there. I mean, that's what they were going
for. Yeah. No, there is no balance here either. Here is why. On Plastic Addict, I will figuratively describe a toy as painful to play with. There is no such figurative wording here.
Oh, so it literally hurts.
This thing hurts. And here's why. The handle, it's a diamond-shaped handle with the long corners flattened out, which is fine for a toy sword handle. Except you have these very square, rigid, like speed bump things on the other corners.
Yeah.
And no matter where you hold on to this thing, one or the other or both will either dig in between your knuckle joints or right in the meat of your thumb, and you go to swing this thing, especially to get the blade to come out, like you would a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And it grinds into your joints. It hurts like hell just swinging this thing.
I would call that toy a toy that makes a man of a boy.
I'd say it makes a cripple out of a boy.
That's still a man. A man who's seen it all.
Okay, for the kid who wants... Okay, parents, if you want your child to experience carpal tunnel before 10, okay.
Well, you know, some parents have carpal tunnel, so it can help them educate their kids as to what carpal tunnel syndrome is. And
jeez. Yeah. I don't know, it amazed me that it came out this bad, considering they've been doing lightsabers forever now.
Well, also, I was going to say that Transformers roleplay swords, as I vaguely recall, have actually had a decent track record of success.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Well, it's fine when you're talking like, okay, here's the kid's version of the movie Prime Sword.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's simple enough. It's a foam sword toy, you know, just like Nerf does. Or the Energon Saber from Energon, you know, which was actually a pretty solid toy. But those were things that were actually seen in media. This is just something they thought up and slapped an Autobot symbol on.
Mm-hmm.
And for what originally retailed for $15, no light, no sound, it's basically just an extraordinarily clunky lightsaber.
It's a bummer, especially if that was $15 bucks up front. I'd hope it would have noises and stuff and a Cullen clip.
Yeah, something, anything, shock sounds, nothing.
Yeah.
It has a spring gimmick, you know, where it unlocks the blade. But even that doesn't work quite right, because you can see these little indentations where they're supposed to lock in further than the spring actually gets them.
I like that it was punctuated with a little click noise in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's me. That's me reconfirming it.
Yeah. That's a bummer. It sounds like, also because Aaron got me to start transforming mine, it sounds like Aaron won at Transformers this week.
I got a BotCon toy.
Oh, I guess, yeah. But with that sword, I don't know.
See what you do? I can't take you anywhere, sword. You just make me look bad.
Sword's all like, but you still love me. So is that all the Transformers we got this week? Because I promise you, I got almost nothing this week. I literally got something to get bus fare this week. So I guess I'll move into the off topic and tell that story. Yeah. I was out filming today at Cherry Bomb Toys, filming some spots with my friend Daryl, who got in touch with them to do a few spots to go online to promote their toy fair, where Mastermind Creations is selling their exclusive Shattered Glassy version of the Night Morpher. And while we were filming there, I filmed a hell of a very professionally staged fight scene with a local actor, and at one point she jumped on my back, and I very professionally completely lost my balance and pulled a muscle in my leg, or felt it starting to pull. Thus, I buckled my knee and fell onto the ground, and totally ripped one of my knees open. But I didn't tell anybody until after she left, and after we were all packing up. So as I was a trooper and didn't mess up the shoot by whining about my bloody knee, but it was all
diva.
Yeah. It was kind of freaky though.
Right water.
I got some paper towels and I was wiping all the blood off, and then like it was kind of black underneath, and I thought for a second it was dirt, but I remembered I was wearing long pants, so I was like, I think I really bruised my knee. Huh. But I put Band-Aids on it, so it should be fine. Anyway, on my way back, I needed to get bus fare to get back because I was already running late, so I went to the comic store and said, hey, do you guys do interact with cashback so I can get some bus fare? And like, yeah, sure. So I went to look for something to buy, and they had a 30th anniversary G.I. Joe aisle there. They had a couple of those figures in. They only had two in. They had the Steel Brigade, which I had no interest in, and they had the Cobra Trooper, who was identical to the Cobra Trooper from Pursuit of Cobra. But I kind of wanted a second one, and it was kind of close to Canadian retail price, so I bought that, and then got $250 cash back and took a bus back home. So I now have two Cobra Troopers. I haven't even opened it yet. But that's what I got this week. Ha ha! All right. Aaron, did you get anything else this week?
Yes, I did.
Oh, dear.
So I'll start off with the American stuff.
Oh, jeez.
America.
Nerf, Vortex, Praxis.
Is this the Nerf one that shoots the discs?
Yes, it is one of the disc ones.
Is that the one? Because PL had one of those on his Ustream, and he was shooting people in the face with it on Ustream.
And yes, it is the 10-round clip, like pump-action Nerf gun.
Good Lord.
I just made the dog that's hiding in here with me very nervous, because Nerf guns come out when he's not good. It's real easy to reach out and say, hey, don't do that. He's currently looking around like he's going to run.
He's like, well, I didn't do anything, man.
Yeah, I was just laying here sleeping. He cocked his shot. It's okay. It's okay. He's still giving me the nervous look, so I'll just pretend like it's not going on. So, yeah, it's the discs instead of darts. And Toys R Us had a deal since 9/10/11 was the day that all this Praxis stuff was, or the super long range disc thing was supposed to be coming out, and they had a deal where if you bought any one of those guns, you would get a free refill thing. So I got an additional 10 little discs. I haven't seen anywhere where you can get the clips, since this is a clip based one, to use those 10 discs. And so it's more like, oh crap, I lost two. Well, I've got more. It's a Nerf gun. I haven't seen any specific performance differences other than the fact it seems like it actually pulls a little bit to the side.
Oh, you think that's because it's maybe spinning the discs on the way?
I'm believing it may be due to a Coriolis effect of it spinning, and so it wants to veer off to one side, like when you throw a frisbee.
Just for our younger listeners, can you explain what a Coriolis effect?
Coriolis effect is due to the fact that it's traveling faster on one side than on the other side. It's actually generating a little bit of drag on one side of the disc and not on the other side, so it slows that down.
Ladies and gentlemen, you tune into WTF at TFW not only to hear about Transformers, but to learn.
Yes. But yeah, it's another Nerf gun. It's one of those things I'm like, I don't need the Nerf.
See, getting the Maverick kind of just scratched that itch for me for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't quite work. However, the it does have a detachable buttstock that will plug on to the Prime Barricade.
Oh dear!
I did it once and
crap! Now I need one.
That will work with any of the InStrike system. So there are. There are some other guns that come with that you can get. Because it also has like the tactical rail on top of it, so you can take any of the weird fake scopes or laser pointers and put it on there too.
Oh, I just want to stick more guns on my guns so they can kind of look like that new Serious Sam game where you can plug guns on top of guns with clips.
Yeah. Well, they have there is a Toys R Us exclusive where it's three big guns that all combine together.
Can I stick a long strike on top of my pistol?
No.
Damn it.
But, I picked that up because I wanted to see what this was about. And the other two, there are three others that came out. There's one that's a single shot where you pull back the trigger or you pull back the cocking mechanism and it has a slot to put one of these discs in and you put that in and then you pull the trigger. And that was kind of like a single shot. The one I was thinking about was the next step up from that, which it's like a five-shot internal magazine where you open a door on the side, you slam five of these discs in, you close it, and then you shoot. Almost got that one, but then I saw that this one was named Praxis, and I went, hey, Praxis kit. Huh. No, Deus Ex. From that other video game. Yeah. So, got this. The next step up was a 20-round clip. I think that was the Nitron. And that's battery operated and was interested, but that was like, I want to say $50 or 45. And that was a little bit too rich for just, hey, I want to fiddle with this. It's a Nerf gun. If you enjoy Nerf and shooting things and shooting dogs that are still looking at me kind of nervously, go for it. On the Japanese Bug Manny front, got a metal set SP. I was just interested in the metals and I saw somebody had the metals on eBay. And so I got them for cheaper than what the one with the Switch would have had. But now there's a part of me that kind of regrets that I can't do that. So now I'm going to look for one that's just a Switch and then I'll look for the packaging so that I can have everything all at once. But yeah, no, probably not. I'll be good. Put it.
But it does this.
Put it. Put it.
It does this. Put it.
Yeah, I know. It does that.
Okay.
And so it makes another set of sounds come out of the little talkie box. My metal set EX, which is the last of the Diecaster M metal sets, is somewhere between Hong Kong and here. And the Hong Kong tracking number I was given doesn't quite work with Hong Kong tracking. It says that like information received and passed on to United States and the USPS tracking system goes meh.
It's between the two. I've had that many times.
It's also a victim of the USPS tracking system of I've had packages for a week and it's still like, yeah, it's in our system.
You sure somewhere. Have a package.
Yeah, it's going to be neat when you get it, we hope. Unless you weren't looking forward to this package, in which case, we're sorry. The only other thing I've gotten toy-wise is the candy toy Gojujin that Vangelis sent my way.
Oh, did you like my letter?
Yes, I liked your letter.
Excellent.
It's all built, and it is... a goddamn space drill tank dinosaur robot guy.
Yes. You know what? I actually like that design so much in just having been exposed to it so many times. I'm actually thinking of eventually getting the DX one just because.
Yeah.
That design really works, man. It's a big robot dinosaur that turns into a robot man. And then guess what? It also turns into a flying drill spaceship.
Yep.
And the DX one adds this fun gimmick of everything spins. Yep. So I'm actually really tempted. It's the first time in years I've actually seriously considered for more than a day picking up a DX Sentai toy, because, you know, it's also, it's still a DX Sentai toy, so it's kind of a brick by nature, except that apparently its legs are really poseable for Sentai toys.
Well, yeah, well, it has to be if it's going to go through everything that it does.
Yeah, so now I'm kind of like, oh man, I kind of really want this thing. So yeah. I don't know yet. I don't think it's going to be hard to get a hold of down the road, so I'm in no rush.
Right. But, that's the biggest thing that my problem with getting started on that is like, well, then I need Gokaio. You know, and then I need, well, if you're going to do that, then it turns out at the end that you get this other piece and all the other stuff that's come out before can get into the crazy combination.
Oh, but they're not doing
and
that
then,
this time, are they?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like they're staying away from having everything slapped together into a giant, colorful, crazy thing.
Right. Yeah. It's everything's plugging into the, you know, one into each arm, one into each leg, and something in the chest.
Yeah, and that's why I'm actually okay with the Gojujin, because it's a standalone toy pretty much. Like, the arms removed for the sake of the transformation, then it's kind of just a side gimmick that you can arm swap him with the other one. It's not it's not as much of a, I don't feel like I'm going to be buying engineering that I'm not going to be using, kind of.
Yeah. But like I said, that's just my problem, because I get started on that and I'm like, well, I'd really kind of like to have this other piece as a companion piece. And then if I'm getting the companion piece of these two, there's just one more.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous rabbit hole. Yeah.
But no, beyond that, that's the only toyish stuff. The only other exciting thing is this weekend I'm doing a big historic reenactment thing, and I spent the majority of today building a wigwam.
Excellent. And the other week we went from Aaron saying, I can't do any podcasting, I'm going to be gone that weekend, to us going like, all our podcasting happens before the weekend, to Aaron going like, yo, I can podcast next week.
Yeah.
That was kind of
fun. Yeah, so I'm actually here. Were it not for podcast, I would already be in the 1700s. So.
Well, we're keeping you here in the future.
Yeah, which means I got to get up still early this morning. And no, it's this morning. We're rolling on. And put together all my bedroll and stuff so I can disappear off to the 1700s for a while.
Hoo-ah. All right, well, is that everything non-Transformers you got this week?
Yeah.
Then it's up to Omegas to carry Aaron out to the 1700s.
as well as I can do that with Bugman belts and giant robots.
I'm just putting undue pressure on your shoulders because I got nothing this week, so I don't even have to think about it.
Well, from a box of just random stuff coming in, show this off in the video, but might as well. We start off with a PVC figure of Gao Faigar.
Is that the CM's PVC one, or is that the Yujin PVC one?
I have no flippin' clue. Hmm. Someone on the comments of the video said it was the CM's one, but I have absolutely no base for
reference
on that.
How would they know, though? I mean, you hardly see it in the video up close.
Yeah.
So, CM's did, Yujin, I believe it was Yujin, did a series of Brave robots, primarily Gao Faigar robots, where they were kind of like the Mobile Suit in Action Gundam figures. Very similar joint systems, very similar everything. And then CM's did their Sunrise Action Robots, which were very similar to those Yujin Master Action Robots. And I honestly don't know how to easily tell any of them apart.
Did they have any, like, unique accessory or feature to them?
When it comes to the Gao Faigar ones, not really, because his accessories are always like, yo, here's a driver, here's a Hell in Heaven fist,
he's got the clenched hands. And he's got the dividing driver. Got the broken magnum too.
The one that I
thought might separate him out is he has two separate chest pieces.
That might be one Yujin, actually.
Okay, because he's got one for screen accuracy and one so his arms can actually get around his chest.
I'm sure I could try. The thing about the Yujin ones that I recall and the CM's one is that not many people really who got them really talk about them much because they're kind of nondescript action figure robots, so they don't really inspire a lot of passionate thought.
It's Gao Faigar, and he doesn't know a whole lot.
He's like I'm guessing he's poseable, right? Like he's got joints.
He's got plenty of jointage. Yeah.
But it's kind of like he's a very nondescriptly poseable Gao Faigar.
It's like
he can put his arms like that. He can sit down. He can bend his legs. You know.
Yeah, it's a very Yeah, it's about as meek as a Gal Figar could probably get.
I have a great Bond gun from that style. I can't remember now. I can't remember if mine is CM's or Eugen either. I think mine's Eugen. And I remember I was kind of taken aback at how I was like, dude, I have great Bond gun on my desk, but he is so nondescript somehow that I don't really feel excited. And it was so, I mean, I got him on sale as well because nobody in this town, I got him at a comic shop. That's why I'm pretty sure he's Eugen. And no one in this town knew what he was. So I got him for like $10. And it, you know, it's like a mobile suit and action style great Bond gun with the big wings and the big sword. But the joints are just so like, you know, just basic. He still feels like a really basic nondescript action figure. And nondescript is the word I repeat because it's the best way I can describe it. Which is funny because it's freaking great Bond gun. Like, you know, you have Galfiger. That's cool. But you know what great Bond gun is. You've got.
I have the great Bond gun.
Yeah, you have the great Bond gun. So imagine having a figure of that design, but so nondescript. It's really weird.
It's hard. Yeah, looking at that design, it's hard to imagine one that's nondescript.
Yeah, it's just like, yo, it's great Bond gun. He stands there. It's kind of neat. But aside from that,
continuing the Brave trend, also came with a little keychain of Genesic Gal Gigar.
I kind of am jealous because I need a new keychain.
Yeah, well it's just a keychain figurine, so he just kind of stands there and looks like he's about to slaughter everything around him.
Yeah,
that's all I ask in a keychain, really.
Yeah, what else do you want? Oh, key ring would be nice. No, shut up.
I'm getting dragged up to a con in November. This will probably be hanging off of my little duffel bag.
I would hang it off of my lip.
Of course you would.
It'd be a weird ass thing to hang off your lip.
How about Bugmen? How about Bugmen? Also from Random Box. Also randomly from the box is the Sochaku Henshin Blade King form.
I saw that and I got all riled up because I actually had to go through work to track mine down when I was in Japan in 07, and I could not find it for cheaper than 5,000 yen. So that was like a big victory to me. And then it's like, yo, I got in a box. I was like, oh, yeah.
I was actually surprised. He's like, I've got him in the shelves right now between a Sochaku Henshin Gills and the Figure Arts Decade, and he's better size to the figure arts, to my surprise.
He's a really interesting Sochaku Henshin figure because he's got loads of die-cast armor and is almost one of the best examples of the line in many ways because also he's got so much die-cast armor pegging onto a plastic body that most people just superglue him together because there's always an armor part that tends to kind of shuffle a little bit.
Mm.
But I like that toy a lot. Oh.
Yeah, he's a cool figure. I've got little tiny plastic playing cards that can slide into his sword, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else? After that we get into the roleplay section.
Yeah, you had a win there.
I had a win there, but we're going to go to a couple others first.
Ah, all right.
Because I kind of lost my mind a little bit.
Yes.
I picked up the Delta Driver.
Oh, I got that when it was new. I remember that.
Yeah. Just neat because it's voice activated, and it kind of neater because it's not technically voice activated, it's sound activated.
Yeah, that thing is kind of...
So you can just like go, and it'll go off?
It's activated by vibration, except that it kind of only works sometimes on a lot of them.
Well, I figured it out. If you speak into it too fast, it's not going to register no matter how clear you are. It's like it needs a full second before it can really pick up any audio.
Yeah.
So, I was sitting there going, trying to be accurate to the show, going, you know, I'm trying to recharge the freaking gun, so I keep charge, error, for like 5 minutes. I'm doing this.
That's the story of me when I got it way back in 2003. It was me kind of sitting there going like, I was literally starting to go like, into the thing. And I was like, why is it?
Yeah.
Then someone told me, oh, it's vibration activated. So I was sitting there like just tapping it rapidly with my hand. Nothing was happening. And that was like a month of young me trying to figure out how this crazy Japanese toy that's sort of but not voice activated would work.
I figured it out. It's two methods. Aside from like clicking the antenna on it, it's either a sharp noise inside the casing, like I've banged the butt of the gun on the table and it works.
Yeah.
Or just draw out the word and it'll pick it up.
I gotta pull mine out again and try drawing out the word. I never thought of doing that. Mine's all...
Yeah, so that was an adventure. It's an awesome toy once you actually figure it out, though.
I love that toy. Fantastic roleplay toy. As far as the very open-ended quantification of what a good roleplay toy is, I think that the Delta Driver is on the upper end of a lot of, like, in the past 10 years even, a lot of them.
Right. Well, just the fact, it's a camcorder, it turns into, like, a RoboCop-esque gun.
And the pistol mode is kind of big.
All for it. Yeah.
It's kind of big. I used to dual-wield that in Armada Laserbeak back in the day.
There's a mix for you. See, moving on from there, picked up the Hibiki belt.
That one's weird. I didn't buy that.
That one is weird. For those who are not aware, Hibiki does not transform with his belt.
Yeah, and he uses taiko drumsticks, so the belt is kind of a weird Simon game.
Huh. It's a Simon game you beat the crap out of.
Yeah, it's like violent Simon, where instead of having all these different colors you push, it's just like, hit me like this! And you just start hitting it.
This is abusive Simon, basically. There's a bunch of modes. There's the free mode where it's got like 8 sound effects you can rattle through it.
Yeah.
So if you want the Bruce Lee hi-ya every time you smack into it, you can.
And it's
like, there's a dog. There's a few different types of drum beats. There's a glass breaking. I get that. There's a hi-ya. I even get that. There's a dog barking in it.
Of course.
Why would I want to hear a dog bark every time I smack it with one of these demon sticks?
Because you're playing demonic violent Simon. I was going to ask you, it comes with the drumsticks, right? Like the demon drumsticks.
Yeah, the Ongekibo Reika.
How big are they?
A little more than a foot long.
Okay, that's bigger than I thought they were. I thought they were.
Yeah, I'm holding in my hand comfortably right now.
I was expecting 6 inches long.
No, bigger than that.
That's kind of cool.
And I was pleasantly surprised. The two demon heads on the ends of it that make up the tops of the drumsticks actually have different faces molded in.
Yeah, that's cool. That's accurate.
Yep.
Accurate to a detail that almost no one ever saw in the show. So that's okay. That's a whole bunch of belts now. You're closing in.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got. It's actually a fun toy because you get the. You can either you get the free mode just to hear the sounds. You can recreate the effect of drumming an enemy to death in the show.
Yeah.
And then, there's the rhythm game.
And I like that also because you're getting this gamut now of different styles of roleplay toy. For those who are still wondering, like, what a roleplay toy is, you've got a toy gun with multiple modes. Now you've also got this, basically a drum game that comes with a pair of drumsticks. So that's another cool engineering type of thing.
Right. So we move on to something more properly known as a belt toy.
Yeah, these are also very... These things are belts on an ancillary... They happen to be belts, but are more prominently other things.
Right. The one I showed off in the vlog, I got the Kabuto Zector at long last.
And that thing is only a belt.
That thing is only a belt. Unless you like having a giant red toy bug.
With tiny little fold-out wings, as I understand it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Little shell wings. I want to know what it is about Japan and Red Hercules bugs, because I see it more than once in toys.
Once upon a time, the Prime Minister of Japan revealed himself to be a giant Red Hercules bug.
They all are. That's the trick.
There's something really depressingly racist about that, but I don't know what it is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I. I don't know.
But it's a cool belt. There's something weird about me that I actually like these roleplay toys that have the audacity to say Henshin for me.
Mm-hmm. And how loud is it? That's the other question I had.
Actually, I'm surprised. It's not quite as loud as other roleplay toys I have.
I heard the Kabuto toys were both underproduced and very quiet.
Yeah, I've got the Zebesector too.
Mm-hmm.
About this, which, yeah, I kind of expect a quiet volume from a wrist toy, but yeah, I was actually surprised. This one was far quieter than I'm used to a belt being.
Yeah, well, we're in a really good, as far as the electronics in the roleplay toys, Bandai right now, their stuff is, as I understand it, quite a lot louder than it used to be.
Oh, yeah. It is a cool. It's a cool belt. I like having it, and it came along with the kunai gun to complete the Kabuto set. It's actually like very cool. Like I remember as a kid, I had the old power weapons from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Which, and you know, my favorite one was always the axe because okay, it's an axe, and flip it around, it's also a big hand cannon.
Yeah.
So this kind of takes me back to that, with the added feature that, if I want to, I can stab somebody with it.
Excellent! Yeah, it's all that with the sort of third sub-mode.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird, because you have to disassemble it just to find the on button. That's a little odd. And it's motion sensing. So, like, you flick the kunai, and it's goes off on crazy sound effects, which makes me wonder what would happen if I had two of these to use as drumsticks for the Hibiki belt.
It'd be really loud.
Yeah.
You should get a second one.
Probably
professional opinion.
Mm-hmm. They're not that expensive on eBay.
Yeah. That's really cool. So you're now kind of outfitted with the a taste of the Kabuto stuff, as well as the Fize stuff and the Hibiki stuff. You're going down the range of the last 10 years of Bandai toy development.
Yeah, I think really the only generation I'm really missing, because Kuga and Agito's belts are so similar.
Yeah, and they just make a noise, really.
Yeah, they noise, and there's spinnies in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to have to get a Ryuki belt at some point, just to fill the gap. And
that probably won't cost much money.
No. I saw one when I bought the Blade Rouser, and it was just like, good lord, that's an old belt going really cheap.
Because it makes one sound. Or maybe, no, it makes two sounds.
Two sounds.
So, did you get anything else off topic this week that perhaps was in a manila envelope?
You mean one came in a crumpled, like, priority box?
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm just kind of hypothesizing.
Nothing really that big. I overhyped it to hell is what I did in that video.
Ah.
Yeah. It's just one of...
I did guess right! Before the show, I was totally going like, so did anyone ask you if that was a Gumba Ride memory? Because, you know, that's the first thing I would have thought, seeing that packaging. He's like, nope. I was like, huh, because that's my guess. So if I could just say for a moment, I guessed it. I pat myself on the back.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you were the only one who actually did.
Am I seriously
guess
the
it.
Only one who thought that?
Yes.
That's impossible. It's, I mean...
Someone guessed it was the T2 memory set.
In a tiny manila envelope.
Yes.
Because, that's what it shipped in Japan, was that envelope. That's why I was sitting there going like, oh, we must have got the Gumba Ride memory. But like... Okay, I feel totally awesome now. Anyway, please continue. I feel like a badass.
Actually, it was a different manila envelope.
Oh, I still feel
bad. No, the other one. I had the other one came with it. It was like white and pink, and congratulations.
Congratulations.
Why did I do that?
So I can clear this up for the listeners. Back when we were all into our memory stick toys that make noise. There's an arcade machine that's still going on today, and one of the prizes you could win in it is you get a card that you would then send in the mail, and this was a somewhat rare card. Not, as far as I know, it wasn't actually very rare, it was just somewhat rare, and most people who got these things kept them. But you'd send the card in, and then you would get this noise stick that is fully unique, both in the color of LED light, the color of plastic, and all the noises it makes. So when this thing hits the North American aftermarket, typically it runs for Hell of Money. And in the Japanese aftermarket, it still runs for Hell of Money because nobody who got it actually wanted to sell it.
Right.
So that's what this is kind of like a lucky draw in a way.
Right. Essentially, considering the normal memories would be produced in the millions,
something like that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The contest was for 10,000 of these things.
Yeah. So it's not lucky draw rare, but it is still rare.
Yeah. Well,
it's the process that you got to go through to get it.
Exactly. It's kind of like a con toy. It's actually not hard to find, but you are going to pay a premium for it if you actually want it.
Right. No, I was lucky to find someone on eBay that was basically selling a lot that the DuPont Memory and the Cyclone Philip. And I was stalking this thing, like salivating, because it was a 3-day auction, no minimum, 1 penny bid to start off.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, mine.
Now, given that this thing on its own was sitting on eBay with a 185, I want to say, buy it now for months, can you share what you ended up pulling off to get a hold of it?
At the end of the day, 90 shipped.
You see, that's already that's half of what it cost when it was on eBay for months. So that is a pretty big win, I think.
Yeah, considering there's so few available to North America in the first place.
Yeah, no. I mean, okay, that's a hell of a lot of money to pay for a plastic stick with a soundboard in it, but it is a rare one, and it typically runs for double that if someone's actually trying to find it. So. In the niche aftermarket this thing exists in, that's kind of a win.
Yeah. It's one of the few times I've ever bought anything just because it is rare. Because normally I despise doing that.
Yeah.
I like to pay what it's worth.
Well, congratulations. Because I thought you would have paid at least $120 for it.
Yeah. There's this little thing in my head going, maybe I'll send him an offer for this much. You know, I was like, I kept pulling back and... Like, I was watching this auction for 3 days. 2 days go by, I'm salivating. I wake up and I check it one morning, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last day gone. I was like, okay, double check the listing. User has pulled it because it's no longer available. Ah!
You're like, all right, someone put a bid in.
Soul ends. email him. Luckily, I did. I'm after the Gombaroid memory. What happened? Fully expecting, why would anyone else want the other ones?
Yeah.
And he took it down because someone made an offer on Cyclone Philip.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, he told me what he wanted for it. It was way under anything else I saw. Sent it away.
If he said normally 90 shipped, I would have jumped on it too, because I would have been like, that's less than 180. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's how math works.
Normally
wouldn't do an eBay deal like that, since it's basically through eBay, but off eBay. Kids at home, I'm a professional fool with his money. Don't try that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, I've done deals through eBay sellers off eBay, but it is a calculatedly huge risk, and you have to kind of either really trust the seller or have dealt with the seller before and be in a, like, don't do this blindly,
I know I have heard horror stories of, I've got another one. I'll sell it to you for that.
It is, in fact, eBay illegal to do that. So you got to be careful.
Paid off, though.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. That's
yeah,
awesome.
I can say I'm completely done on Gaia memories. There literally is not one left that I need.
Yeah, no, that's that, and to pull it off for $90 is very well done. That's way better than what anyone, I think, especially even a month ago, would have expected someone to be able to pull off. So many congrats. I mean, that's probably also a great end cap on the sound stick things, because I mean, I've got Complete Selection 2 going to the Toronto place I'm living at. That's probably going to be it for me, unless I see something akin to that for that sort of a deal. So, bit of a retro throwback for all you guys, and one of our least popular off-topic topics has now had a final nail kind of driven into it, I think.
Yeah.
One can only hope. Oh, I mean...
oh, Aaron, wait, you don't have the complete selections, do you? You can...
No.
All right, well, okay, well, the coffin's still open. We got to put Aaron inside of it first.
Yep.
Oh, congrats. And hopefully I haven't spoiled a YouTube reveal. did you get anything else off topic this week?
He says, no, I can't top that.
He says, after asking him if he can top the $90 Gamba Ride memory. All right, cool. Awesome. Well, that's a great way to end this what we got, and that's a great way to end the podcast for now. This has been WTF at TFW. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail for either a vocal listener question or perhaps to get in on another edition of Sound Waves, our Google Voice voicemail box is area code 318-775-9830. Area code 318-775-9830. Area code 318-775-9830. So give us a call there, leave us a voicemail, and bear in mind that generally those voicemails are played with very little screening, so, you know, don't leave a voicemail that you don't want to actually be heard. Or if you do that, you know, maybe mention to someone that you left one and you kind of would like it to be removed, because that's not unfeasible. Also, please don't put the voicemail on your speed dial and then have your speed dial set off while you're in a car or doing something, because that was a long voicemail of phone in a pocket. Come on, that might have been costing you minutes, man. You gotta watch out for that kind of thing. Anyway, we'll be back, and we've got prime time still happening because we're in the final stretch of that, so stay tuned for more WTF at TFW. This has been Vangelis, that's been Aaron and Omegas, and you're in my mouth.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.